much about.
It's gonna be hot.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
What's crackling, my people? Keep it rock and roll, my nigga. Peace.
So take it from me, Claude Akins.
Pizza, 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 pizza.
Holla!
Oh, no, he didn't. Why is Dean so stupid? Why is Dean so gay? Dean, we shut the F up, and we die today.
And then funk breaks loose all over the place as the 46th Annual Grammy Awards continues right here on CBS.
Dean, I reject you totally.
I went to Vivienne Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like...
Did you hit that?
Oh!
Dean, the interview killer!
And now...
So much for the bean, huh?
Our feature presentation.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Well, she said she looked like Ernest Borgnine in that one interview,
yeah, right,
remember?
But it's,
I mean, come
that's
on.
Fake self-deprecation or whatever.
Deprecation.
Thank you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. He
Yay.
Is back.
What would I do if I didn't have all of you around me? And not all of you get me at the same time. One of you will pick up on what I'm trying to say, and you can finish the word, and then maybe another time somebody else. It takes a team.
What happened?
It really
takes a village.
It takes
Kevin.
A village. Sad.
You do remind me so much of my dog Atomic, who has the doggy Alzheimer's, who constantly forgets where he's going, what he's doing, what he's trying to think of. And it very much, we should rename him Kevin at this point, but it would just confuse the poor guy at his advanced age.
Plus, I slobber a lot.
Yes.
So you got that
and
going.
Sometimes pee when you don't mean to. Hey, we're going to take your telephone calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Greatest story that came out yesterday, Kevin, I'm sure you saw it, about the janitor at James Madison High School in Brooklyn, New York.
Did not.
He's cleaning up after hours like he does. You know, he's a janitor.
Sure.
Right.
He walks in and two school teachers, Alina Brito, 29, Cindy Morrow, 33, both language teachers at the school, have their pants down and are fooling around in the classroom when he shows up to clean it.
Two of the teachers?
No kidding.
Yes.
Nice. I want to go to that school.
One of them is married to a man. But they're both tenured, which is great news for the students because it means they can't be fired, right? I mean, they're coming back to have lesbian sex in school again tomorrow.
Yeah, they can do it in front of the class once you're tenured. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
Here's my favorite quote in the whole article. And just, by the way, for a minute, imagine you're pushing that broom or that mop or empty those trash cans and you're thinking, boy, does this suck to be a janitor in freaking New York, you know, and it's cold and I'm – getting up and going to work in the morning to clean toilets. And then you open that door and all of a sudden it's like a rainbow comes down from the sky and you go, I'm the luckiest person in the world.
Your choir singing. And all of a sudden you love your job again.
My favorite line in the whole story. Student said the teachers were popular. Well, no kidding. Yes, they were.
The only thing they're missing is a male student in between them.
Yes.
That's the only thing
you're
missing.
That would make the perfect story.
But,
that'd be a Christmas story.
That might still happen. That's the thing. It might still be in our future.
So they are the Kevin and Bean citizens of the day. Well done, ladies.
I like that. All right, let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Well, what it do is a 4-pack. That's you and 3 friends to go see the advanced screening of Avatar, James Cameron's new film. You'll see it on December 17th. It opens the next day. You're going to the beautiful Bridge Cinema Deluxe. So have a great time. Let us know how the movie is.
All right. Let's begin with Joe, who I think might speak for a lot of people. Hi, Joe.
What it do, nephew? What it do, Callie?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do? So I'm watching the news last night, Channel 5, and what do I see? Tiger Woods. I watch Channel 7, what do I see? Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I'm watching Channel 11, and what do I see? Tiger Woods. You know, the story is entertaining, but I'm just sick and tired of seeing it on the news. I want to see some news.
Yeah, I agree. There's no
line
anymore.
It's a little bit much.
Dude, it's been a long time since they've had news on the news.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a time when this kind of tabloid story was never on the news. Yeah. I mean, they would just think of it as beneath them. But now it's all this.
And, it's just a little crazy.
I hear you. I hear you. You know what happens, though, Joe? Honestly, what happens is people watch for like 30 seconds, and they want to see whatever is hot. So all of these stations do the exact same story, and they don't have any new information. But they got to do something on it.
Right.
Oh.
So they do.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
How, what about the song, though? Have you heard the song, the slow jam?
I have heard the song.
That, to me, brings it all back. To me, yeah. I love, love, love that story. Can you have me? Yeah, there we go.
Hey, it's Tiger.
They don't play this.
I need to do me a huge favor.
Yeah, this should be on the news.
Please, God, do this for me. Can you take your name?
They should perform it live.
My wife is on my phone, and they may call. Take your name off your phone. You gotta do this for me. Just have a nice number. Take your name off your phone. My wife is on my phone, and they may call. Take your name off your phone.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
You gotta do this for me.
Come on.
Did you guys hear the 911 call from Elin where she's calling about her mom?
No.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Is that, oh, really?
It's not right, hot, Mike. It's way hot. No, it's not hot.
It's way hot. I mean,
she's got that accent.
No. Yeah, she's hot, but yeah. I mean, it's a terrifying call. Well, her nose collapsed. She doesn't know she's breathing.
It sounds horrible. I mean, she's clearly panicked and scared.
But you're reading between
that's
the
how you
lines.
Like your women.
But it's like a super hot chick screaming, like and like panicking, and like also you can hear
that
she's
makes
like
you
all, her
excited.
Rapid, shallow breathing and her breaking in her voice. It's so hot.
Wow. All right.
By the way, the one other thing about Tiger is that at least there is something new every day on the Tiger story. That's not always the case because
yeah,
it does
so
seem
far.
Like every single day there's another girl, right?
But if you, definitely at least one. But if you watch a lot of news, which I would not recommend, they do just repeat.
They recap a lot.
Even though there is something new every day, but.
But ratings are through the roof on this Tiger coverage,
oh,
by
sure.
the way. On the entertainment shows like the Access Hollywoods and stuff like that, I mean, you know, for all the legitimate criticism the caller makes that it's pumping actual news out, people are watching it. They really are. By the way, I follow Bill Plachke's tweets. He's the LA Times sports reporter who's just an awesome reporter.
Right.
And he was tweeting yesterday that he has, how did he say it? He has embarrassing info on a Los Angeles athlete that he's not going to run because sleeves must lose sometime. He says it doesn't directly affect the team. It doesn't have anything to do with the game he plays, and it would ruin lives, so he's not going to deal with it. And I wonder if that's his comment against the, you know, all this Tiger coverage.
Sounds like.
But you can't do that.
He's had enough.
You can't put out there, hey, I know something juicy, but I'm not going to tell you. That's bogus.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, don't say anything.
We need some hints.
Yeah, don't say anything. Or you got to tell us, one or the other.
He gave us hints in that it's a team sport player and it's in L.A.
Yeah, but there's a lot of those, though. But that's hundreds of men right there. That
oh,
just
that's
named.
Just dumb.
So anyway, would it be awesome if it were Manny? I did I direct messaged Bill and asked if he'd come on the show, not to talk about that, but just to talk about what it's like for guys, you know, following this Tiger coverage right now. What's a reporter like him think about it?
Plus, with our interview skills, we can get him to talk.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Great.
Let's go to John. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, John. What did
you
do?
It turns out I heard that. You know who Tyler Knight is?
Yeah, porn star.
Porn star?
He's trying to do Tiger Woods porno.
Oh, so they're already working on that. I'm surprised it's not finished yet, but
yeah, it should be out by now.
It take a day or two to do those.
You said it should be done by the end of the week.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. See, for the last caller, there's something new for you, Joe.
Porn.
What happened?
Let's go to Joey. Bean, you know I'm going to Jesus, so just don't even bring it up, but let's go to Joey first. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what are you doing, nephews?
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey. I've been up for like 2 days, almost straight, working, picking up dead people and taking them places.
Wow, good times on every level.
Is this people who are dying because of the brutal cold?
I wish more people were dying. Unfortunately, I have to say it, because I get paid by the call.
He gets paid by the corpse.
Wow.
So your job is to go around to people's houses and take the body out.
Or if they die in a hospital or a convalescent home, yeah.
What seems like the sensitive kind of guy to do that.
What a terrible job that
sure
must be.
Sure want him coming to my house to pick up Grandpa.
Yeah. Anybody else here, Dad? Anyone else close? Because I'll wait around.
Well, when I go to a house, I'm very, very respectful. But, you know, I joke about it like a job at, you know, In-N-Out or McDonald's. I don't give a crap.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. We've talked to people who have done this job before, and I think that not everybody, but a lot of people, they just get used to it. I mean, at some point, it just doesn't bother them. It's just like, you know, we look at a doctor and go, how can you be an emergency room doctor and have people come in with their arms torn off? I mean, you get used to it because it's your job.
Right.
And I think that's the case. It's not for everybody.
Exactly. It's not for me. Every day, you just get used to it.
So you've done it for like 48 hours in a row?
I've slept maybe 4 hours between here and there.
Well, that seems bad, no?
Why are so many people dying all of a sudden?
I'm guessing because of the oinky-oink flu, but I don't know.
Oinky-oink flu. Is that code?
Yeah.
Is that the technical term?
That's a company or business.
That's replaced H1N1?
He's definitely a medical professional. All right, Joey, please get some sleep. Thank you for the call. And we'll close with
Jesus. Yes. Jesus, good morning.
Good morning.
What'd it do? Tell us
your problem.
Tell us your problem.
Oh, yeah, thank God, because I was getting about to hang up about that Tiger Woods stuff.
All right, but what are you calling on?
So, I got this beautiful Akita. And I took it. I took it next to my friend's pit, and the pit's always been nice. And all of a sudden, that pit locked his jaw on my dog, on my little puppy's ear.
Oh no!
And everybody was trying to pull his jaw. And then I remember listening to you guys, and sure enough, I smacked or like sort of put my finger up its butt, and it let go like a germ.
There you go. Yeah! There you go. That's the Kevin and Bean tip of 2009 right there, my friend.
Bean had dogs that were fighting, and he had a trainer tell him that's the only way to distract them is if he, honestly, it sounds like a joke, if you put a finger up their butt, they go, whoa, 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 and then they they release.
I'm impressed because pit bulls do not let go.
Oh, he let go.
How about that?
That's good to know.
Now, Jesus, was anyone else there? The owner of the other dog or anything?
Yeah.
So did they go, what are you doing?
He got pretty pissed, though.
Why are you putting your finger there? That's a thing I heard from these DJs.
he got a thing. The dog bit his finger, too, because it was locking.
Oh, I see. All right. Yeah.
Well, good. You're a hero.
Yeah, those locking jaws are tough. The bulldog has similar makeup, and I'm telling you, when Veruca gets onto something, you have to do that to have a shot. You can't pull her mouth off of whatever.
But who learned that first? Like, who figured that out?
Yeah,
I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'm going to try this. I'm going to put my finger up its butt.
It's a great question.
That's crazy.
All right, Jesus, poorly told, but certainly worth calling in for. We very much appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yo, butt ain't made for that.
That's right. That is true, sir. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Just when you think you've heard everything from Psycho Mike, he's done something else that will shock and amaze you.
Really?
Now, I only heard what you were alluding to yesterday. Right. I have not heard the actual story, but apparently it is disgusting.
Well, yes. It is not.
Depraved?
all of the above.
Inexplicable? Inexcusable?
Yes.
Okay. Lisa, were you mortified by it?
I have not heard it either.
You haven't either? Okay.
Nope.
All right. Keeping you guys in the dark on purpose because it's...
Sounds like we're in for a treat.
It's like the best gift of Christmas. You wait last and then you open it and everybody goes, wow, that's great.
That was worth it.
So that's...
Well, Mike does do the grossest things of any person I know.
And tells us about it.
And tells us about it.
Great detail.
But... has nothing to do with it. There's 10,000 things I do that are I consider gross that I don't tell you about. This isn't gross.
Don't you recognize it?
Yeah, I know, but I'm not listening.
Okay,
to you.
Dog whisperer. That's how we.
Put your finger in my butt.
I'll do that
and make you too happy.
We're going to talk to Steve Ward, who is the host of Tough Love on VH1.
Yeah.
Why can't I get a man?
Awesome.
The girls say, and then he tells them very specifically. There's a list of dangerous toys out.
Every year,
and apparently again this year. I don't know how toy companies can't see this coming because every year there's the list and there's the top 10, and they all have stuff in them that is clearly they shouldn't have.
Yep.
Right. You would think that before you make a toy for 2-year-olds that has little pieces that can be swallowed, you would look at last year's list and realize that it's gonna get pulled again.
Yeah. Part 3 of R. Kelly's Pregnant.
Yes.
On today's show.
And yes.
Very excited about that.
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant.
Another day of walking around yesterday. Another day of thinking of that hook. I could not get it out of my mind all day long today. A thousand times yesterday, I said, F you, R. Kelly.
Were you in the store singing it?
I was everywhere singing it. I can't stop.
We're going to talk to Dana White today from UFC, talking about UFC 107 and Brock Lesnar. And we have tickets for you in the pit for night two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat, which is coming up next.
First, though, if Ralph Garman were here with the Showbiz Beat, what would he be talking about?
He would be talking about your opportunity to be on television.
Ah.
Reality shows are always casting people.
Casting
and
call.
I like to tell you about it. And here's one. Here's an opportunity for you for a brand new show called Invasion of the Christmas Lights.
Oh, yes?
Yes.
They better get this one going fast.
That's what I'm thinking.
Do you and your family really love Christmas and want to decorate the outside of your house with tons of lights?
What?
We will give you the lights, and you get to decorate your home.
Is it a competition?
Yes. Who can be seen from space with their home light decorations?
How's that a show?
I have no idea.
Do we have a plug over here? No? Okay.
We're holding an open casting call.
Come back for after this commercial break.
Tuesday through Wednesday, December 10th through the 15th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. So for 5 days, they'll be looking for a family that wants to decorate their home for Christmas.
If the TV show is giving you the lights, though, how is that a competition? It's really just who has the time to hang more of them up, right?
You know, Bean, you should contact invasioncasting@gmail.com for more information about Invasion of the Christmas Lights.
Okay.
Or maybe that's not the show for you. Maybe you're looking for love. Well, then you want to go on ABC's new reality show called Conveyor Belt of Love.
Come on.
F you not.
That's a placeholder name.
Conveyor Belt of Love.
Until they come up with a real one. You go to the airport and you just sit there while they go around in circles and pick one out?
One by one, 30 men are presented on the conveyor belt of love to, to five women and given 60 seconds to impress them.
God, I'm in.
Damn it.
No, this is great. This is the worst idea ever.
Conveyor Belt of Love.
Come on.
If a woman is interested in a man, he will step aside. But if another man comes on the belt who seems better than the woman's first choice, she can swap the man off the conveyor belt and put him back on the belt.
We are truly
conveyor belt of love.
Truly out of ideas.
Yes, we are. Someone went into an office somewhere and said, conveyor belt of love. And someone wrote a check to that person.
And somebody said, yes.
Someone just bought a new car based on conveyor belt of love.
I'll watch it. They got me.
That's the problem.
They
that
got me.
Right there is the
Come
problem.
Come on, conveyor belt of love.
How can we get Doto on that show? Coming down the conveyor belt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Only if the conveyor belt ends up going into a furnace, I think, would I really be willing to get Doto on that conveyor belt. If it was like an incinerator. If it was like the conveyor belt they use when they what do they do with corpses? Instead of burying them, you...
Cremate.
Yeah, that's a crematorium.
I don't think that's the part of it, but it would certainly make it more interesting.
Gene Simmons just showed up.
This may.
Yes,
speaking
Gene.
Of crematoriums.
Right.
Thank you. That's not what it doesn't mean what you think it
very
does.
Very different kind of cream.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know anybody that you trust well enough amongst your friends to fly you across the country?
What do you mean to fly you?
You mean in a private
As
plane?
As a private? Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't do
sure.
that.
Sure. Sure, Bean does. Sure, I do.
I don't have any
I know a lot of
I don't have any friends who are pilots.
I don't either.
But none of my friends... If they got their pilot license,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Would I get into a small plane with?
That's correct.
I don't trust any of them that much. Zach Braff apparently flies back and forth across the country with his friends in his own private plane.
Does he doesn't fly it, or he does?
He does fly.
He does fly.
Yes. He was just telling Ellen DeGeneres on her show the other day that he pilots his friends. He's got a 4-seater plane back and forth from New York all the time to New York to Los Angeles.
Pretty sweet deal.
Nope.
Although the only thing I'll say is those private planes. Much smaller than a commercial airliner. How long must it take to fly to New York?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
Like that noise.
3 days.
It's like driving to San Francisco on a mini bike.
Right, exactly.
That high pitched 2-stroke engine just screaming in your ear.
And then they have to land like every other state
to get
more gas.
Turbulence is so much more intense on those small
yes,
planes, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But at least he's an actor and not a pilot.
got that going for you. But you don't have to wear a seatbelt if you don't want to, and you can be nude. So there are some advantages to just fly with your friends, too.
In the nude.
None of my friends I want to see naked either.
No,
if I'm playing,
no, I'm out on all those scenarios.
I love my friends. I think they're good people, but I would not put my life in their hands on a plane. I just wouldn't.
But you might feel differently if you had friends who were actually private pilots, and you could see that they do it a lot, and they're responsible and whatnot. Like my friends, I totally don't.
No.
Played off by the keyboard cat.
Playing you off the keyboard cat.
Sorry, dude.
And Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Has some competition for the heart of her ex, Samantha Ronson.
Isn't he already taken with someone else?
No, Gilligan, it's a woman.
Oh.
Apparently Aubrey O'Day.
Uh-oh.
From that girl band.
Danity Kane.
Yeah, Danity Kane. Apparently was seen the other night, according to their post, behind the glass partition of the DJ booth, trying to get the attention of Samantha Ronson, putting them on the glass.
What happened?
Apparently the two of them were canoodling. Aubrey O'Day's hot.
Yes.
She's so hot.
Samantha attracts the lipstick lesbians. I don't know how she does it.
She's not hot.
Yeah.
Samantha?
Yeah.
No. I want to see her on the conveyor belt of lesbian love. See if anyone pulls her off the belt or if they keep her on there. Conveyor belt of love. Come on.
I hope they go around several times. Come on. Look, come on. I'm telling you.
They're going to film the thing at a baggage carousel over at LAX. Just guys sitting there just going around, circles. Around waiting for someone to claim them.
Oh, it is the golden age of television. I hope that airs immediately after S, My Dad Says. That'd be the action-packed hour I'll look forward to.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Raven Simone.
Yeah!
She's so Raven.
She is.
She is. She's 24 years old. Emmanuel Shariki.
There it
yeah.
is.
My co-star in the legendary TV movie Deceit.
Huh?
You heard me.
Yeah, I kind of remember you talking about that.
We were in Deceit together.
Were you really together?
We never had a scene together, no, but apparently we were both in it.
Did she remember you from it?
No, we never worked together. But we're both in it. It's all both of our resumes.
Did it air?
Yes, it aired.
It's a legitimate question.
Yes.
Look, you shoot stuff sometimes that doesn't end up being released. I just was curious.
Awesome. She's 31 years old today. Meg White of the White Stripes.
Oh, stop it.
Oh,
come on.
Stop it.
Here we go. Our annual argument.
Bellworthy at all.
No.
We took a bunch of calls last year, and I got strong backing from the Kevin B.
Last year.
You got served.
That didn't happen, first of all. But second of all, that bell is supposed to speak for the room, not just you.
Right.
So even
skin like a China doll, and bosoms till Tuesday.
Come on.
Oh, my God, I need a shower.
I heard her so much.
That's Psycho Mike saying that.
Heard her on your own time.
Oh, I do. Believe me, I do.
That's the kind of woman that's just not quite hot but has big boobs and then being like, goes crazy.
Right,
yeah,
right.
You know? Goes crazy.
He never looks up.
Look at those boobs! Yeah. And you go, well, no. She's,
how about the rest of the package?
She's got a very pretty face.
No.
She does fight. She fights her weight a little bit. She looks better when she's thinner. But
have
she's
you
very
seen
pretty.
Her face?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Absolutely. In great detail in slow motion, so. I've seen her face.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
Let's move on.
Actor-director Kenneth Branagh is 49 years old. He, of course, working on the new movie Thor. The new superhero movie Thor. About the Norse thunder god Thor. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Thor is a big hammer.
Speaking of big hammers, Lisa.
Where's Gene Simmons now?
And Michael Clark Duncan. Speaking of big hammers, he is 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Right now, though, time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That is the number. It's an answering machine we have set up so you can leave a message anytime you think of us. You know, Kevin, sometimes we'll hear a message and it's so obvious what's going on. You can clearly tell why the person is calling, right. Where they are, what they're doing. And then sometimes, like, you listen, you can't quite make out what's happening here. See if you can help me figure out what's going on with this listener.
Smoking weed, 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 smoke weed, smoking weed, smoking weed, 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 smoking weed. We're smoking weed. We're smoking weed.
I can't help you.
It's a puzzle.
I don't know what they're doing.
Wow.
Here's a listener calling, I think, just to thank me.
I'm on my way home, and I have to hear about the Edmund Fitzgerald on the news. Thanks a lot, B. You suck.
Yeah.
Hey.
She speaks for us all.
I don't even know what the Edmund Fitzgerald is.
Oh, don't worry about it. Here's somebody, I think, who is suggesting that we just played Would You Like to Take That Back? Here's a listener suggesting something to add to the file for next time we do the game.
The FDA bean, really? Eat poop.
poop and die.
I can't hear the FDA without thinking in my head, the FDA?
Right.
I can't stop myself from
saying
it. But
you're the only one.
There's nothing I can do about it.
All right.
I'm sorry. Of course, about half the calls we get to the Kevin DeBeat Afroline are fans of Lisa May, and this one's no exception.
Lisa. 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 Hi.
I was expecting an answer.
Tell us.
What's happening?
I don't know how effective that is to get a girl, but he does get your attention. You have
it
to give him credit
does.
For that.
Sure.
Here's, believe it or not, another Lisa fan.
Hi, Lisa May. I just want to thank you for helping me out with the traffic situations every morning. So I want to help you out in return. I want to help you clear out your traffic down the I-5 South. If you know what I mean, baby. Oh, yeah. I know you black, Lisa May. I just want to get between your cheeks.
What?
Oh, wow.
Wow. That turns out.
Wow.
What
okay.
happened?
Here's a question we get asked an awful lot this time of year.
Dundas the Santa Carl. Dundas the Santa Carl. Oh, Santa Carl.
Okay, hear my whole thing. Santa Carl, who is beloved by children all over the Kevin and Bean Nation, is going to be joining us Wednesday, right here
yes!
on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesday,
so
Santa
excited.
Carl will be coming in to talk to your little boy or girl. So how about that, huh?
Love Santa Carl.
He's the best. It's not Christmas until Santa Carl shows up.
Yes.
Going through the Kevin and Bean Afro line, this is, although the party doesn't sound great, this is certainly the best Christmas party invitation we've ever received.
Yeah, Eric, yeah, this is Mr. Khan, man. Listen, I want you to come to this holiday party with me, man. We've had some wrong parties in the past, so I want you to go to the second level of a broadcast building and meet me in the lobby, all right? We're going to have snacks and drinks and especially holiday cheer, all right? But we need some Dixie cups, man. We need plenty, all right? So go down to CBS and take care of that for me, all right? Yeah, man, a holiday party, mistletoe.
How great is that?
I'd go to that one.
And, of course, you know, like most phones in America these days, you can't check your message machine without hearing from Tiger Woods.
Hey, Kevin. This is Tiger. Can you not be so gay?
Oh!
I'd like to be able to help you with that. But
and finally, I don't know why, but Tiger called back.
Hello, Kevin Bean. This is Tiger. I need you to do me a really big favor. I've been locked up in my house since Thanksgiving and really need your help. I was hoping you could help me out with some tickets to Almost Acoustic Christmas. I'd really like to come out and meet Danielle. I was watching her video online from the middle of December, and wow. So please do this for me if you can. I really need to get out of the house. It's huge. Quickly. Oh, and let Callie know. I said thanks for changing her voicemail.
Huh?
Really don't need any more grubbers coming out of the woodwork. Know what I mean?
No.
Thanks a lot.
Tiger. You.
Wow.
Thank you, Tiger. 333-520-AFRO. That's the number you can call the Kevin and Bean answering machine anytime. We'll be right back after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, every year at Christmas time, this list comes out. The list of dangerous toys.
Yes.
It's shocking to me.
Every single year there are, and these toys are made by major toy manufacturers that just, I don't know, they had a blind spot, they didn't see it, whatever. And so they put out this list every year, and it's stuff from Disney, and it's stuff from every company. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what the company is. Hasbro, all
right.
of the big companies.
They all get caught with this.
Yeah.
I know.
And they still, in 2009, are still finding toys that are manufactured with lead in them that kids are putting in their mouth. You could have got the memo 20 years ago that you can't put lead in kids' toys anymore, right?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
they usually come from overseas.
Yeah, but
that's the problem.
It
yeah.
seems like they check stuff like that, or at least we'd like to think they do. But
mm-hmm.
well, maybe that's how the safeguard works. But let's find out more about this story. Every year we like to catch up on the toys that you should be avoiding if you're out shopping for the little ones in your life. And we have Mr. Gavin Clarkdale on the phone. He is the Watch spokesperson. Hey, Gavin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
You're good.
Great. Happy holidays.
To you, too.
Thank
it's
you.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
you heard us right there on hold. Why does this happen every year that more and more toys with like little parts that kids can put in their mouths and swallow? Why is there not somebody along the way before they're sent to market who says, hey, bad idea?
It's beyond me. I don't know why they don't have someone look at these toys and say, this is dangerous or this is inappropriate for children, don't you know?
And that's why it's good you're here.
That's why we're there at Watch.
Yeah.
And what does that's Watch what you stand for?
It stands for WATCH.
I see. All right. Okay.
Okay. So as an example, for instance, you've got this Curious George counting book, my first book of numbers. This is meant for very, very small children just learning how to count. Yet the thing practically falls apart. It's got little rattles and stuff
little
in it that
pieces,
the kids can swallow.
They could choke on them, for God's sake.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you can't sell that to kids, right?
They'll be counting how many times you have to give them the Heimlich maneuver. That's how you teach them to count.
What are some of the toys our listeners ought to be especially aware of this season?
Well, you have to know that, of course, they love to make toys based on popular movies and TV shows for kids.
Right.
But like the new one, My Friend Precious, which is based on that movie Precious.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a life-size doll of the woman who plays Precious.
Oh, no.
And it's smothering children. They try to carry Precious around, and it crushes them.
Because she's fat.
She's a big fat girl.
Right. Right.
She's too big for children.
So that should probably not be on the market.
She's fat.
She's too heavy.
The Blindside Home Game.
Blindside Home Game.
The popular movie with Sandra Bullock.
Oh,
of course, it's a wildly popular film.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But the home game is a black kid comes and lives in your house.
That's...
Nobody wants that.
That doesn't exist.
Nobody wants a black stranger in your home.
Who's offering that?
The Hasbro.
Are they really? Wow, I didn't realize.
That's their idea.
All right.
The Paranormal Activity Game.
Okay.
Oh, very scary movie.
Very scary. It's a Ouija board-type board game where you die and see if you can contact your friends from beyond the grave.
Wait, the idea of the game is to die?
You have to die to play it.
Well, that seems bad.
You're dead.
You shouldn't sell that to kids either.
Kids shouldn't be dying.
That's correct.
No, not at all. Of course not.
How about the popular SpongeBob?
Yeah, SpongeBob SquarePants, sure.
Yeah. Is it inappropriate for young girls this season? What? Is contraceptive SpongeBob. They shouldn't be thinking about that.
Oh,
why?
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 That's the question.
How about gynecologist Barbie?
Nope. Again.
Comes with the dream speculum.
Nope.
Not good for kids.
Not good for kids. Not appropriate.
Don't need that.
Thank God you're there, Clark.
Fisher Price's Little Tiger's 18-hole course.
What? Little Tiger?
You open it up, it's not even about golf. On the box it says, see if you can put it in all 18 holes.
Wow. Oh, that's
and
terrible.
It's not about golf.
Well, that's not right.
It's not about golf.
That's dangerous. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:53.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't know how they smell the money in the water from the wood.
I'm thinking if you're in the water, you try to smell the money. The water goes up your nose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then where's the wood come in? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
That was Kevin's take this week on the Tiger Mistress story. So there you go. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday now. Is it Thursday or is it Wednesday? What are we doing?
Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Thursday right now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Losing track of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Congratulations to Transylvania. You know how much I love Transylvania, the movie Transylvania?
Sure.
Which, by the way, I didn't even realize is a threequel.
A threequel?
Yeah. Apparently there were two direct-to-DVD movies before this called National Lampoon's Dorm Daze, D-A-Z-E.
Okay.
About college hijinks.
Oh, I actually know about that movie. My friend's neighbor made it.
Yes.
Your friend's neighbor should be murdered.
No kidding. It's awful.
There's two of those.
Yeah.
And okay. This is the third one, Transylvania, where the cast of Dorm Daze goes to Transylvania to go to school.
And this is
just a lot of boobs.
This is spoof
really?
On. Well, a lot of boobs is okay, but
but still.
A spoof on all the vampire stuff?
Yeah, so that came out last weekend. You know I was mocking it horribly. Well, congratulations to Transylvania. They have captured the record for lowest grossing opening for a movie ever.
Ever?
Wow.
To play in over 1,000 theaters.
Like so, a real movie.
A real movie that was released to 1,000 screens
wow.
or more. Transylvania is the lowest grossing
film of all time.
Standing oh.
Congratulations, Transylvania.
How do you do it? How do you stand out?
They had
days?
An opening weekend. They were released on 1,007 screens, and they made $263,941.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's bad.
That is an all-time record.
Yeah. Do we know what it cost to make?
I do not. Mm. But I'm guessing it was more than $263,000.
Well, first of all, the movie looks horrible. Okay, first of all.
That doesn't Second stop of all, a lot of movies from making at
true.
Least money. You know? Yeah.
Second of all, they opened at an extremely competitive time with lots of really good choices. People are scrambling right now to catch up on the good movies that they want to see. Who's got time to roll
time
the dice on Transylvania?
Yeah.
Murder.
But it's Transylvania.
It sure is.
All the execs, they're sitting there going, this movie's about vampires. We got to get it out now.
Yeah, don't put
it's
it on,
gonna be
don't
huge.
Waste it on DVD.
Yeah.
Let's cash in.
Put it on the big screen. Because people love vampires. I saw a line for a vampire movie. Yeah,
they should
times.
Just advertise that Rob Pattinson is in it. You should put it in the trailer. Put it in the, yeah, just lie.
Just lie and say it's him.
Yep.
Yeah. Tiger Woods. This Jamie Grubb. This is the grubstake, the grubber.
The grubster?
The grubmeister.
Yeah.
She's spilling more details about her affair with Tiger Woods. She told Us Weekly magazine that she was thrilled, by the way, with her affair with Tiger. Thrilled to
thrilled.
Be with him.
Okay.
In October, she says they got together, watched Angels and Demons at her place, then had sex. So now we know what movie they watched.
Okay.
Glad we're getting those kind of details.
All right. I'll make a note.
Yep. Angels and Demons. So now you know.
See, for the guy who was calling this morning complaining that there's too much Tiger Woods coverage,
no.
there's a nugget for you. There's
there you
something
go.
New you didn't know before.
And something important.
Yeah.
We need to know.
That's cool.
Paul Abdul says American Idol made her fat.
Yep.
Yeah. American Idol made her fat.
What about her eating a lot?
No. Not it was American Idol.
All right.
The brutal work schedule, she said, kept her from working out and taking care of herself.
What brutal work schedule?
Lisa, she had to sit there and watch people sing.
2 days a week.
2 days a week.
Oh, well, I can see your point. Yeah.
Now she's got all the time in the world to work
yeah,
out and take
does.
Care of herself. Nothing but.
Should be slim now.
Yep, she'd be in great shape now.
It's the biggest pile of BS, too, by the way. On a show that big with that much money coming through it, they had whatever she wanted on set to eat. If she wanted a zone diet,
right.
she could have had that delivered. If she wanted
a trainer,
fruit only. I mean, yeah, she's out of her mind.
Yeah.
Of course, we know that.
She's been out of her mind for a while.
But she's got to blame something on something.
Yeah. Good point.
And this is unbelievable. There's a couple in England, Kevin and Julie Fitzpatrick, who are huge Neil Diamond fans.
Right. Yeah, that is unbelievable. It's not believable.
I mean, you can be a fan of Neil Diamond.
Oh, that's not the part.
But they have spent their entire life savings in order to meet him. There was a charity auction for a charity called Children in Need. It was being held on a BBC radio program. And so in order to win the grand prize in the auction, which was to meet Neil Diamond and have a private dinner party at his mansion, they bid $44,000, which was the entire savings they had saved over their lifetime.
No.
Wow.
No.
They won the auction for $44,000 that went to charity. They're going to meet Neil Diamond at his house in Malibu on December the 17th. But when they return home, they said they will have no money.
Well... That's dumb.
That is dumb.
Wow.
But they'll have met Neil Diamond.
Yes, and then...
And then they will sign a mutual suicide pact.
Right.
Because they're going to starve to death.
Can you pay
your
rent
no
with that?
You have no heat in England, which is not a good time to have no heat in
That's
England.
Bizarre.
It's the winter time.
I hope they feel like it's worth it. I hope they don't go and are disappointed with Neil.
Yeah, it'll be worth it.
I hope he shines them on.
It can't possibly... Yeah. He'll be out in a minute.
Whatever.
He'll be out
he
in a
walks
minute.
Away.
Exactly.
He's a real asshole to him. That'd be great.
If wow, you guys are stupid. What'd you spend all your money for to meet me?
If you're Neil Diamond, though, don't you write him a check for $42,000?
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And say, you know, thanks for giving to the charity, but you really couldn't afford it. I can, because I'm rich.
Right.
But we'll see if he does the right thing. I'm guessing he won't.
I think if he finds out about it,
Bastard.
I'm with
bastard.
He's the devil.
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Raven Simone from That's So Raven and The Cosby Show. She's 24. Emmanuel Shrieky.
Yeah.
He's 31 years old today. I got a gloating email from a dude who was in Deceit who actually had a scene with her.
Is that right?
Yeah. What a burn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had a small role as a cop, and he got to have a scene actually with her, and I didn't. But I got to work with Ashley Scott, the beautiful blonde in that film, who was delicious. So,
who did you play? What was your character?
I was a character called Police Sergeant.
Okay.
I was Ashley Scott's superior officer. She was a cop, and I was her sergeant.
Have you been a cop more than anything else in
I've played a cop more than anything else, yeah.
Yeah, in my interesting.
Career. Or a football team captain.
Football player.
Yeah.
Crunky.
Ralph does have the neutral narc look.
Crunky.
Remember when Marilyn Manson thought he was a cop?
Yeah, Marilyn Manson thought I was a cop. I look like a cop.
Is that guy a cop?
Is that guy a cop? He asked. He must have a cold because there's a lot of sniffing going on backstage. That's all I know. Meg White of the White Stripes is 35. Stop it. Stop
it.
Hot.
Meg White of the White Stripes is 35.
Love her so much.
Kenneth Branagh, legendary Shakespearean actor and director. Act. Most recently seen in Pirate Radio. He was very good in Pirate Radio. 49 years old. Michael Clark Duncan is 52. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin Beach Show. Of course, we're talking about this weekend. Gibson Amphitheater sold out thanks to you. We're talking about the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 show. And right now, up for grabs, tickets for night number two. That's the night that Muse plays, by the way. One of the best live bands out there today. Also, 311, Slightly Stupid, Phoenix, The Bravery, Metric, Vampire Weekend, Cage, The Elephants, White Rabbits. You can win the tickets if you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what's this game called?
Famous Twos.
Here we are, all ready to talk about your favorite number and my favorite number and everybody's favorite number, the number two.
Too sexy.
The number two.
A lot of twos. Hey, Ralph Garman, you got questions for us today?
Two!
So how do they play? What are the answers?
General trivia questions.
Uh-huh.
Every answer will have the number two in it.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
The number right. two.
Sounds simple enough. Yeah. We had pretty good luck yesterday with one. I'm sure we'll do fine with two.
Two! This is two.
So
number two.
So this is different than
every
yesterday.
Every answer will have the number two in it.
Okay.
You got to have the number two in the answer.
All right.
We got that. Okay. Established.
Two.
Is there a thread running through the answers that we need to look for? Okay.
Two.
Why don't we, for good luck and good feng shui, let's start with line number two and make Stephanie our first contestant for the game to try to win the ticket. Now, if you do come up with the answer to Ralph's trivia question, you go into the drawing. Callie will do a drawing in about 5 minutes. Somebody is going to the show. Hey, Stephanie, welcome.
Two.
Hi.
Hi.
Stephanie, what number are you thinking about?
Two.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. U.S. President Thomas Jefferson is pictured on this rarely used paper currency.
$2 bill?
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Two.
It's that simple. It's that easy.
Two!
I think two is understood.
Two.
I think we've got that.
All right.
Let's go to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Sean, the bombing of Pearl Harbor forced the United States to get involved in this global conflict.
World War II.
Two!
Oh, man, I didn't think he was going to get that one.
That was a tough one. You really threw him a curve there, Ralph.
Hold on. Let's go to Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah?
Yes, hi.
What's the first half of the old saying that ends with, three's a crowd?
Two is company.
Yes! Two!
How does she do it?
Two!
All right. We get the two thing. Let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hello.
Hello.
Henry, Charlie Sheen is the highest paid actor on TV for his role on this sitcom.
Two and a Half Men.
That's correct.
Two!
Woo!
Two!
Woo! Let's go to Angela.
Two!
Right.
Good morning.
Hi, Angela.
Angela, Zach Galifianakis has a hilarious internet talk show spoof that goes by this name.
Between Two Ferns.
Two!
Look at you.
Well done.
Two!
Well done.
I'm very impressed with you. Nicely done.
Two!
Caesar, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Do you understand what the answers are involved?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Could I have said that better?
The answers are involved.
I have a good idea.
Then you know more than Kevin.
All right. Complete this saying.
Take two.
Two!
See?
Two!
All right.
Complete this saying and famous Paula Abdul lyric. One step forward.
Two steps back.
Yes!
And
two!
And you should be embarrassed that you know that. Thank you.
Two!
Let's go to Tom. I don't think anyone has missed. Has anyone missed?
Nope.
Nope.
All right.
Not yet.
Tom, no pressure, but no one's missed.
Hello. Hi.
Tom, this famous Charles Dickens novel begins, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Charles Dickens novel, number two.
No, talk to us.
He's okay.
He's talking to his helper.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Google.
Worst of times. Wait,
the famous Charles Dickens novel.
Worst of times. Google.
It's the opening line to that
novel.
You're
going to be the one guy who doesn't get it.
Charles Dickens novel.
Nope.
No.
A Tale of Two Cities.
Sorry.
Two!
Okay. Tom, two you failed, dude. But thanks for listening.
What do we got? We out? We done?
We out?
That's
done.
All the lines we got. Yeah, we're out. But everybody is in the drawing. Callie, who's going to see night number two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas on Sunday night?
Our lucky winner is Stephanie.
First person
Stephanie!
We talked to.
On line two!
Two!
Come on!
Two!
Stephanie.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You will be in the pit.
Thank you.
On, I can't remember which night.
Two!
Night two. And thanks for playing the game.
Thank you. It takes two to make a thing do right. Two.
I spoke to John. Too sexy.
The number two.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's hear from this R. Kelly fan first.
I'm glad that they found him not guilty. I love him for his music, not for something that they was claiming that he done.
All right, something that they was claiming that he done that we saw on video.
R. Kelly, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything, man.
Doesn't mean he did it, right?
And wasn't it his best friend's daughter who?
Yeah, his goddaughter. Yeah,
his goddaughter. And he peed on her.
But we're not here today to talk about whether it's appropriate to pee on teenagers. That's not the point of this morning's Kevin B. discussion. We're here to talk about, like that young lady we just heard from, to talk about the great music of R. Kelly. He's got a new record out that is imaginatively titled Untitled. And the final track on it, by the way, we have to give it up to our friend Kat Corbett, who many of you know and love, just like we do, who turned us on to this song. The last song on the record is called Pregnant. And it's so great that we haven't been able to get through it. This is our third day now of continuing through and talking about the lyrics of Pregnant by R. Kelly. It's that awesome.
He's one of those bizarre artists who he did that whole Trapped in the Closet series, which, again, I'm going to suggest, if you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas, dig that up and find it. And you'll watch it and you'll go, this isn't real. This cannot possibly be real. And I'm telling you, it is, and it's worth it, and it's a great gift. But now, Pregnant.
And here's the thing, and I don't know whether I'm clearly not in the demo for R. Kelly records. Maybe this music appeals to people. Maybe there are people out there who are women or who, for whatever reason, they're turned on by this kind of talk. But he just seems like a creep. And who knows? Maybe I'm just being influenced by what I know about him out of the recording studio. He just seems like a creepy, lecherous old man when he comes on to these women and says incredibly sexist and horrible things. And I'm usually the guy who supports that.
Yeah, you are all about that. And yet he goes further than you. This is the hook of this very wonderful song.
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. You are pregnant.
Come on. And it's her fault, by the way. She makes him want to get her pregnant.
That's right.
Not his fault. And then we heard, in the second day, we heard the booty and cutie rhyme.
Until I met this girl in the club with an unbelievable booty. The sweetest girl in the world to me, and on top of that, she's a cutie.
And that's when people started calling and going, this can't be real.
You made this up.
We're making this up. And we said, no, we are not making this up. This is real.
Hey, I don't know who the guy is you got playing R. Kelly, but wow, he sounds just like him.
And then two other people are on the track. One is Tony Thick. Charles Thick, Bobby Thick, Mr. Thick, somebody Thick.
Robin Thick.
Robin Thick is the guy who sings the third verse, and Tyrese sings the second, right?
And then Tyrese, the movie star, sings.
How'd you like to go on a little trip with your boy Tyrese? Raise your hand if you want me to fulfill your fantasies. I can have you co-starring in one of my movies.
Yes, come on now. Raise your hand if you'd like your fantasies to be fulfilled. I'll put you in a movie.
Man.
I'm going to do an incredible favor for you by allowing you to sleep with me.
Now, the part that we haven't gotten to yet is where should this happen? Where? Where and how? We need some more details.
The goal is he wants her to end up barefoot and pregnant in his kitchen.
In his kitchen, is what I remember
from verse one. But now he's talking about where to do the act.
That's
if he takes
correct.
Her home?
Yes.
Okay. Lay your body down and get you pregnant. Give it up, your city, my city, don't matter, give it up.
It's wherever. Your house, my house, your city, my
He's
city.
Flexible.
Just give it
I
up.
I like it.
Just give it up.
All right.
Give it up.
That's the important part.
Something about being with you make me wanna, baby, put them pills on chill. And girl, give me my baby.
Yes.
Put your pills on chill.
Put them pills on chill.
Nice.
Yes. That's the instruction.
Now, bear in mind that he meets this girl in a club, right?
Yes.
In the beginning, we learn that he's usually a player. Usually, he's a hit it and quit it kind of guy. But something about you, baby, makes me want to start a family with you, right?
Right, right.
So the first night he meets her at the club, Lisa May, he's saying, don't worry about that birth control, honey, because seriously, I'm in it to win it.
Put them pills on chill.
I love it.
Wow. What is it about the fact that she could get pregnant that makes it so much better for him?
I don't know.
There's something about that. He's not just saying, I want to have sex.
I don't know. I think it's just...
I want to put a baby in you.
Yeah, I think it's just she's too hot. He doesn't know what to do with her, kind of. You know what I mean? I think. I don't know.
But Mike and I have talked about this before. There are certain people who, it's a macho thing. How many babies they make, they believe, reflects back on them as being somehow a better person or a bigger man or more studly or something like that. Not only can I have sex with you, I can impregnate you. That's how I roll.
I know for me, and I'm sure there's a lot of guys that agree with me, not having a child with a chick is a turn on. Like, I would much rather be with a girl who came up to me and she's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I know I'm super hot, but I just can't have kids. My body's been rendered useless when it comes to that.
I'm barren, sorry. Yeah, right. Oh, well.
And certainly R. Kelly should count himself among those that would be happy with that. But no, he's not.
I watched a chick take her birth control pills the other night at dinner, and she got so much hotter in my eyes. Like, I don't want to put the pills on chill.
Don't put those pills on chill. All right, so what must it be like to be with an international superstar like R. Kelly and Tyrese? You know, and that thick guy.
Sure.
You must travel the world, and you must be able to spend a lot of money and see things, go out to dinner and have a wonderful life.
Take you out to eat, wine and dine, shopping spree, you sex and me,
Okay, so...
So no dinner, no shopping,
no
traveling, nothing, right? Just get right to it.
Just sexing me. Uh-huh.
Wow. Take you out to eat, wine and dine, shopping spree, you sexing me, See, I'm not cheap.
Okay, and then he says, see, I'm not cheap.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how you say no shopping.
Because he won't give her anything.
But I'm not cheap.
But, Lisa, isn't it... I mean, if you're going to have sex with me, as a courtesy, I at least buy you a drink or something,
yes.
Right?
Uh-uh.
Apparently not.
Not if you're R. Kelly. You don't get any of that. You get to have my baby, and that's it. Nothing
and you'll
else.
You'll like it, damn it.
Oh, selfish babe. Girl, I'm just thirsty for that booty, babe.
All right, now, whose fault is this? Is this his fault or her fault?
Hers.
Yeah.
Oh, because she's...
Baby, you look so good, yeah.
Okay.
Did he say it feels like wood?
Yes, he did.
Okay, that's what I thought he said.
It's all your fault. It's all her fault. It's not him. It's her fault. And it feels...
He's this close, by the way, to being furious with her at how hot she is.
Good, yeah. It feels like wood.
It feels like... I'm not sure, but it feels like it. I'm not sure yet.
Wow.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant.
So there you go. When does it come out, Bean? When does it come out? Please tell
Dude,
me.
Dude, it's out now. Are you
pregnant.
Kidding me? Available for purchase. Please enjoy. There has to be somebody you don't like on your Christmas list you can give the R. Kelly album to.
I would love it. Change. Soundgarden on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:39.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, just ahead of talking to Steve Ward from Tough Love 2. He's not on the phone yet, right?
No.
Okay. I'm taking a little heat this morning for my unnatural love for Meg White, drummer for the White Stripes, because it's her birthday today. So every hour, Ralph brings up that it's Meg White's birthday,
right.
And I, you know, get
right,
all
right, right.
Stuff.
Wait,
and then you guys wrongly try to hose me down. So I put up a poll at KevinBean.com. Dave has also linked it to the Kevin Bean Facebook page where you can vote hot or not on Meg White. I'll be curious to see what the listeners think.
But no. But... No,
what?
No.
What do you mean no?
No!
What?
You did not put up a hot or
I
not.
I put up a hot
You're,
or not
The
poll.
Options are yes, she's hot, wow, she's really hot, or dude, she's scorching hot. That is hardly a fair menu.
There's no not.
So you get a wide variety of choices on how hot you think Meg White is.
Look, she's not hideous. We didn't come in making fun of how hideous she is. But you go so far over the top with how hot she is.
I love her. I love her.
Okay, but you could at least admit she's an acquired taste. She's not a normal...
She's awesome.
You're bad in every way.
Anyway, Facebook, Kevin and Bean, or you can go to kevinandbean.com if you want to see the photo that I selected of the birthday girl today and cast your vote.
All How could you not pick a better picture, too? That's a terrible.
She looks magnificent. Are you kidding
me?
No, she looks terrible. That's a horrible picture.
She's a beautiful
girl. She's worse than I thought, if that's the best picture you could find.
It's the first picture I found that I thought, wow, she's hot even in this picture.
Wow.
So I'm going to put it up.
You're bad.
All right, let's turn our attention to Tough Love, the VH1 hit show that is back a couple episodes in on season number two. Callie, you in particular should be on board with this show because you know what it's like to not be able to get a man. Now, the show
I'm pretty good in that department, but thanks.
If I understand correctly, Kevin, the show is desperate, horny, lonely women who go on television looking for a mate, and they're trying to figure out what it is they're doing wrong.
In many cases, dumb. Yes, and they're trying to figure out what's doing wrong. And the dude that runs it, Steve Ward, who we're going to talk to in a minute, runs this show, this camp, with his mom.
Oh.
He and his mom.
Well, that's interesting.
Which is a little odd, but they call themselves matchmakers.
Okay.
My mom and I are matchmakers.
Okay.
Okay, so right there I go, huh? But then, so then they bring the women in and they try to, you know, they send them out on dates. They try to figure out what they're doing wrong. How come they can't get a man? They're, you know, most of them are attractive. Some not. But most of them are attractive.
So
but
it's something they're doing
it's
or saying.
Kind of, yeah, it's pretty much all desperation problems.
Okay.
Well, they're asking the universal question, which is, what's wrong with me? Because I'm 30 or 35 or pushing 40 and I still am not hooked up yet. Is there something is there something I'm doing? And that's Steve and his mom's job to try to steer him in the right direction. The show is called Tough Love 2. It airs Sundays at 9 on VH1. And Steve joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steve, thanks for coming on, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So we're just discussing right before we brought you on the phone the types of women that sign up to be on a show like Tough Love 2. Is this a last-ditch desperation attempt? Is this a Hail Mary attack for them to try to get a woman? Or are some of them actually great catches and they just had bad luck?
You know, wonderful women that have a lot to offer for a relationship, but they're standing in their own way. One reason or another.
Hey, Steve. I'm sorry to butt in, but we need to redial because
you're breaking up.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, we barely make it out. Sounds like you're on a bad cell phone, dude.
They are desperate most of the time. They do, and they really are befuddled by the fact that they haven't gotten a man, and they don't know why.
Well, and the more desperate you get, the worse it is.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lot of it right there.
So you watch, and then and it's always father issues. Always father issues.
That's
so he
sad.
And his mom make them write
really
about their
like
fathers. Sit down
like
and
therapy.
Write about your dad, and all of them fall to pieces. Here's a clip of them when he tells them that he wants them to write.
What's going on, honey? Why are you crying? Are you crying under there? I always wish I had a dad. Did you know what? You need to write this. You need to express yourself.
I don't really talk about my dad.
Liz, I know your father passed away, and I know this is very hard for you to deal with these issues, but it's going to be very helpful, trust me.
So they sit him down, and then they get them all sobbing. All of them. All of the women are sobbing.
That's not what you want in a hot VH1 dating show.
Right.
Where's Flava Flav?
They know that this girl's dad passed away.
Yeah.
But still, they make them write it down. Now, it might be something that these girls need to do because they need to work through these issues. But it gets so sad that it kind of comes around to be a little funny.
Oh,
it does.
You're laughing
it does.
At these poor women.
I am going to play you the girl who wrote a poem.
By the way, Psycho Mike, you must love this show because you're all about hot chicks with low self-esteem.
This is like heaven for me.
I'm going to play the girl that wrote a poem. And you can... It's horrible. It's very, very depressing. But you can hear the anger coming through every word. She gets more mad and more mad. And then I want you to listen to Steve's comment afterwards about what he thought about her poem.
I wrote mine in a poem form. How could you give me life and just leave me behind?
I look at your face and see traces of mine.
Okay, now, by now, by the way, makeup just running everywhere. The girls are in a pool of makeup.
And also, I'd like to say, if she's on this show because she's looking for a man, no one will ever date her if they see this. I'm 2 seconds into listening to this broad, and I know that right. I don't want to be within 100 feet of her.
Right, and she's 50. If a day.
Yeah.
So more of the poem. Here we go.
Not a call on my birthday, not ever a gift. When I blew out the candles, you were always my wish.
Now she's really sobbing, starting to grit her teeth.
I will never make the same mistakes you did. Every day of my life, I'll be there for my kid.
Now, what do you think, Steve, the host, what do you think his response to that poem was?
Well, I know that he's got to be just laughing his ass off on the inside, but he probably can't do that to her face. He probably has to be nice about it.
But you have to be nice. You go, well, that was heartbreaking. Yeah. And that must have been really hard for you. I can understand your pain. He says,
beautiful.
Beautiful.
I hope he followed it up with, and that's why you're alone, and that's why you'll always be alone. Yeah. And then he kicks her off the island or whatever they do.
It's a sad show. We're not able to get him back on the phone, unfortunately.
Oh, darn it.
But you got to know yourself. You know from listening to that if that'll come back around to you find that funny or not.
I'm recording it. Yes. Trust me.
To me.
I have to see it. I have to see it, too, because honestly, there are people who are completely blissfully unaware of what it is that they're doing wrong. And to have a guy like Steve Ward, and the show's called Tough Love. I mean, what he does is he gives them what his perception is of the message that they're sending out that they may be totally unaware
right.
of. And some of these girls can't hear it, won't hear it. Refuse to believe. No, people don't think about me that way. People don't look at me that way.
And then it's
very tough for them to accept the fact that they're not coming across the way they think they are.
Then they'll follow the girls around with cameras, and then they'll get the guys' responses to it and play them for the girls.
Oh, wow.
The girls who think they're classy.
Brutal.
They think, oh, yeah, I'm classy. I look good. And then the guy goes, what a hoe. Yeah, she's a hoe.
God.
And then they break down and cry. It's a lot of crying on this show. That's all I know. It's Tough Love 2.
In.
It's the second season on VH1 Sundays at 9 o'clock. /7:57, the world famous K-Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, The Prodigy versus Nightmare. We'll get a preview of UFC 107, talking to Dana White, president of the UFC, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's going on, Argar?
Before I beat you with the beat, I've got some tickets to give away. Special advanced screening of Avatar, the new James Cameron film. We're doing it the day before the movie comes out. You get to see it before anybody else. If you'd like to go.
What?
If you'd like to go and bring 3 friends, how about the first 5 callers right now? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First 5 callers get a 4-pack of ticks to go see Avatar before anybody else goes to see it.
That looks cool.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, James Cameron. You have any granola bars?
Kevin, you're going to be very happy.
All right.
The list of the top 10 biggest selling albums of the decade has been released. And you know, now that we're approaching 2010, right around the corner, everyone is compiling their decade list.
Sure.
Yeah.
So the first 10 years of the new millennium, they're starting to say, who was the most popular this, that, or the other thing of the decade? Top 10 biggest selling albums of the decade.
But is it possible to compare 2000 when they were actually selling albums more than they are now when they just download? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how they do that.
I do not know either.
Okay. So that didn't help. Did that help the conversation along?
You have muddied the water considerably.
I apologize. Top 10.
And first of all, Eminem has 2 albums in the top 10 of the decade.
As well he should.
How about that? He's got the Marshall Mathers LP and the Eminem Show.
Uh-huh.
But who do you think has the number one top selling album of the decade?
I
was going to guess Eminem.
Where?
Number one top selling.
And either that or the Beatles.
Of the decade.
The Beatles was right, Psycho Mike.
What?
Look at this. Look at these feet dancing.
But wait a minute.
The Beatles CD 1, which is a collection of their number one hits, is the biggest selling album of the decade.
How about that?
Okay. A band that's been broken up for 40 years.
Yeah.
Still the number one selling band of the decade in the 2000s.
I mean, it makes, I understand
you
it technically.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
I understand it technically.
I don't think you understand.
That it sold the most. But it was nothing new on it. It was all old. It was a, best of.
But people loved it and bought it, is what I'm telling you.
That's bad.
I would also argue that it's the best album on that list, too, song for song.
Oh, oh giggity! It.
Kevin's drinking poison right. He's getting the poison
I know.
Ready.
I knew Kevin would love that, that story.
Take my own life.
The second best-selling album was In Sync. With
In
no
sync.
Strings attached.
See, this
really?
Is what I thought. When Kevin brought up his point, and it was a very valid point about how records were selling back in 2000, 2001, NSYNC and Backstreet Boy, they were moving millions of albums in a couple of weeks. I mean, crazy volume. So I'm not surprised to see that up there.
Third was Come Away With Me, Norah Jones.
Yeah, that's right. Huh.
Fourth, Marshall Mathers.
Okay.
Fifth was Eminem Show.
Sure.
Confessions by Usher was sixth. Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park was seventh.
Goodbye!
Seventh,
see that.
Seventh best-selling album of the decade.
So that's our first one. That we
Creed
have
was eighth. Creed, Human Clay.
Yeah.
Oops, I Did It Again, Britney Spears was ninth. And Nelly's Country Grammar was tenth.
Oh.
Those are your top ten best-selling albums
it's
of the decade.
Getting Hot in Here or whatever that hit was?
So Hot!
I think it was.
Yeah. Remember when Bean did a duet with him on
Bean
that?
Bean sang on that song,
yeah,
I believe,
I
on the album.
Yeah.
I don't remember for sure.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
That happened.
Yeah, great.
Wow.
You guys were talking about R. Kelly and his new song, Pregnant.
Yes.
Best song ever.
He is writing his autobiography.
Yes.
How great is this going to be?
Is it called...
Only if he tells the truth.
Is it called Peeing on My Goddaughter?
It is, oddly enough, called Peeing on My Goddaughter.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant.
Original lyrics were, girl, you make me want to pee on you. But then they had to change it to pregnant. He said in a statement yesterday that he and ghostwriter David Ritz are compiling his memoirs. And he promises, and I quote, to tell it like it is.
Yo.
Except for all that child pornography business.
Except for that part.
And the urinating on underage girls stuff. That he will tell like
that
he would like it to be.
Right.
I suppose.
Yeah, we've already seen him tell the truth, quote unquote.
I'm just hoping he does an audiobook. That's all I care about.
Oh,
and
God.
He does it with the auto-tune. That's all I care. I was born in the projects. That'd be awesome.
What do you make of his records, Ralph? Can you believe
a, like,
how
a
popular they are?
For a hat or pterodactyl?
No, I'm serious. I know that you can look at some music and go, okay, it's not for me, but I see why people like it.
No.
Why do people like R. Kelly?
No.
I don't get it.
His first mega hit, I Believe We Can Fly, or whatever that one was, that was a smash.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't get it.
And back in the day, in the early to mid-90s, he had some hits. He had some good songs.
Yeah, Ignition
like,
was good.
I Don't See Nothing Wrong With That Little Bump and Grind. Those were jams.
Yeah. But the last few years, it's just been shite.
It has been. In all caps.
And yet, entertaining.
Yeah. Amazing.
Look, he may be the David Hasselhoff of music. He may be a talentless hack who really doesn't offer anything, but is endlessly entertaining.
But it's so bad that it's entertaining.
Exactly.
A listener emails to suggest we're missing the bright side. The good news is that R. Kelly is finally getting interested in girls old enough to get pregnant.
Oh,
so we should really be applauding this.
And are you big fans of the Bonnie Hunt Show? You watch the Bonnie Hunt Show in the afternoons?
No.
I like her.
No.
Yeah, too bad. She is being canceled.
Really?
That's real talk right there, man.
Not anymore.
Will not continue after this season ends, apparently. Not doing well in the ratings.
I don't know anything
what
about
happened?
That. Anything about
I like
that
her.
Show.
I like
when
her.
Is it on?
Bonnie Hunt, I like a lot.
She strikes me as funny. When was
she's
this on?
She's a funny lady, a talented actress. She's on the afternoon. Kind of
like a daytime
3
talk
o'clock
show.
Or something, I
Oprah-ish?
Think. Yeah. Well, it's more like the old Ellen. Rosie O'Donnell show or Ellen, you know, with that
right.
Celebrity interviews.
She's very likable.
Very likable.
All right.
But no one was watching.
Not likable enough.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and that
Rudy,
show
Rudy,
Raven. She wasn't Rudy.
Wasn't she?
No.
Who was Rudy?
Someone else.
All right. Oh, wait, no, you're right.
Raven Rudy Keisha Knight Pulliam?
Yeah. Raven Simone was the daughter of the eldest girl, I think,
right.
The eldest Huxtable. She
I
was
apologize.
Like, she was the Huxtable grandbaby.
Wow.
She was
but
a
she
late
was
edition
so
of
Raven.
Cute. She was a late edition of Cute, you're right.
She was very Raven.
Yeah, she
That's
was like
true.
Cousin Oliver. She was the when all the kids started to grow up, they had to put a new little kid on there, and she was the last little kid.
Because the kids all got ugly, and they said, we need somebody cute to
That's
keep people
right.
watching.
Emmanuel Shrieky, 31 years old today. Meg White of the White Stripes is 35.
She is hot.
It's a shame Bean does that to her, because by going so far over the top, we have to say things that we wouldn't cut her down. We wouldn't say she's ugly.
Right, but he's making us
hate
her.
He's making us. It's his fault, because she's not as hot as he says.
Yeah. Kenneth Branagh, actor and director and writer, is 49 years old today, and Michael Clark Duncan.
girl.
Turns oh no, you didn't. Yeah, turns 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I'm Dana White, the president of the UFC.
Dana White.
Nobody gives a shit. Boxing is trying to sell you the fight that nobody cares about.
He is the president of Ultimate Fighting Championship. He is profane.
I don't like Showtime because I want to kick them in their balls.
He is crude. He is completely authentic.
I love boxing. I watch boxing all the time. My big thing is I tell it like it is, and these guys just don't fight, man. That wasn't a fight. And the Klitschko fight wasn't a fight on Saturday night either.
We're the biggest fight promoters in the history of the fight game. As bad as it got, and there's crazy shit we've done, we never did it. We stayed true to the sport. I don't believe in bull. They're the best conditioned athletes in the world. They have to be well versed in boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. And that's no plug, that's no bullshit, that's the truth.
I think in the next 10 years, we're going to be the biggest sport in the world. Bigger than anything. Bigger than the NFL, bigger than soccer, bigger than anything.
Let me tell you about the UFC, Kevin. It's yes. full of superstars. That's yeah. the thing that you love about it, is there's so many That's great true. Fighters, and they're every matchup, the headline of every event is, wow, I can't wait to see those guys fight. And this weekend is no exception. UFC 107, Penn versus Sanchez, is happening on pay-per-view from FedEx Forum in Memphis. We're always excited to spend a few minutes with our friend Dana White, the president of the UFC, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Dana, how are you, man?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good to talk to you again. I know you've been busy. I know you've been traveling. It's got to be always crazy for you as you head into a fight weekend.
It is crazy, man. I've literally been everywhere. I was in Morocco, then I went back to Vegas. I flew to Venezuela. I flew from Venezuela to Memphis last night, and
wow,
pumped up and ready for this fight, man.
That's where the fight's happening in Memphis, right?
I have never one time said the sentence, I flew from Venezuela to Memphis last night.
Yeah.
I don't say it again.
Yeah, I bet. I was talking as we brought you on, maybe you heard, about how many great matchups there are. I don't know how you do it. I guess it's because of the quality, the level of the quality of the fighters that you have. But Penn versus Sanchez, this could be great.
Such a great fight. I mean, these guys both have been dominant at 170 pounds. BJ moved down to 155. And gained the title and has defended it many times. Now Diego Sanchez moves down to 155, has two or three fights under his belt at 55, and now gets a shot at the title. BJ Penn, I don't know if you guys saw the countdown show on Spike this week for the fight. If you didn't, you have to check it out.
I didn't yet. I'm dying to, yeah.
BJ Penn has been training with Marinovich, right?
Uh-huh.
And the shape that this kid is in and the things that he's working on, it's probably the coolest training segment we've ever shown in the 10-year history of the UFC.
Why? How's it different?
He's working on this. What he calls it is working on his nervous system. He's training, and he does all these balance and coordination drills with him. There's this video on YouTube where BJ Penn is in the low end of the pool and jumps out of the pool with no hands onto the deck.
I saw that, under the deck. And you think to yourself, that is a special effect because that can't be done.
It's done.
And yet he did it.
There's only like two or three guys in the world that have done it, and BJ Penn is one of them.
Dana, let me ask you this. For folks who aren't fighters, and I'm guessing that's most of the people listening to this show, why is there such a difference in a weight swap of 10 or 15 pounds? I mean, what is the huge difference? Why is that so tough for some people to fight at a different weight than they're used to?
Because, to cut that weight and to get down to that weight is tough. You know, if you think about your daily life and how easy it is to sway and eat different things. And people don't realize how disciplined you have to be, first of all, to stay at that weight. Then let's say you walk around. I'll give you an example. Anderson Silva walks around at 210 pounds.
Right.
Okay? He's pound for pound the best fighter in the world.
Right.
This guy walks around at 210. He fights at 185 pounds. So he has to cut down to that weight. And the guys that do it smart, have great success. There's lots of guys that don't do it right, though, and it's very tough.
Which one of these fighters is more naturally 155 pounds?
BJ Penn and Diego Sanchez.
They both are.
Yeah, they're both natural 55.
Okay.
And the thing about that makes this fight so exciting is they're both so good. They're both so well-rounded. BJ Penn has taken his career serious. He's in phenomenal shape right now. And Diego Sanchez is a machine. This kid's an animal. He keeps coming forward and is never in a boring fight. This has the potential to be an amazing fight.
Since we're talking about men's bodies, I know Psycho Mike wants to jump in to talk to you, Dana. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, you led me to my next question. The knock against BJ has always been his conditioning. I know he's happy with the new Marjanovic conditioning team, but do you feel that he's ready to fight a fight at the pace that Diego Sanchez likes to push him at?
That's a very good point, and that's what makes this fight even more interesting. Did you see the training segment with BJ on this contest?
I did, yes.
Was that not incredible?
It was
fascinating. I don't think I've ever seen BJ Penn look so good, and we're going to find out if BJ can keep the pace with Diego Sanchez on Saturday night.
Has the problem been that he's too much of a natural, that he doesn't feel like he really needs to train hard?
Yep, and I've been a guy who's been busting his ass for the last 10 years telling this kid, come on, take it serious, you know, and finally he has. He has been coasting on talent for 10 years.
This is the voice of Dana White, the president of the UFC. We're talking about UFC 107 this week in Penn versus Sanchez from Memphis at the FedEx Forum there. That is available through pay-per-view. While we have you, Dana, and we haven't been able to get to you for the last couple of weeks, but you have to tell us how your friend Brock Lesnar is feeling. What's he doing right now?
Yeah, he's in rough shape, man. His future is much in doubt in the fight business, and we're just going to have to wait for the next couple of months and see how he recovers and see if he's going to need another surgery.
Now, it was really weird at the beginning because you came out and said he may not, it's super serious, he may not fight again ever, and then he came out and said, oh, it's nothing, I'll be back, and it was kind of conflicting.
Which isn't true. I mean, what I said is absolutely true. Brock Lesnar is a very private guy and really doesn't want people knowing his...
His
personal health, you know.
So he appreciated you saying that?
Yeah, but listen, I told him, I said, listen, Brock, you can't hide from this thing. You know, it is what it is. And you know.
He's the champion. Well, you got to put something out. Now, what is it? Is it a bacterial infection in his intestines? Is that what it is?
That's what it started as, and it did a lot of damage to him. So he went in, he had some minor surgery, and he's changing some things in his diet and his life, and he's hoping that that's going to fix it. And if he needs... the surgery, the real big surgery for it, you know, everything's going to be up in the air and
sure.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's super scary, obviously, and we like him a lot and we wish him the best. What happened to his intestines, Dana, is it something that could have happened to anyone or did it have something to do with the job that he has?
It does happen to a lot of people. It happens to a lot of people who eat high protein and don't eat enough fiber.
Ah, okay.
So I will never have to worry about
won't.
This.
No.
That's good
your
news.
Your parents used to tell you, eat your vegetables. They weren't kidding.
Yeah. The other thing that has happened since we talked to you was Machida and Hua, and that controversial decision, which doesn't seem to happen very often in UFC. Most of the time it's settled by it. Yeah, I mean, what did you think about that fight, and did you think that Hua lost?
Yeah, well, Lorenzo and I, my partner, a week after the fight, we flew to England. And we scored the fight twice. I scored the fight 4-1 for Rua.
Right.
Then we watched it again and said, okay, worst case scenario, Shogun wins 3-2. You know.
So it was close either way, but it seemed to be a shock to a lot of people when they made the announcement, and the rematch was automatically just on.
Exactly.
Which is going to be awesome.
It will be. That you know what. I think the rematch is going to be a great fight. I think those two are going to go for broke and want to leave no doubts in who wins the next fight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Danny, we know you're very busy. You know we love having you on the Kevin Bean Show. It's always great to catch up with you. Have a fantastic time in Memphis this weekend. I hope everybody picks up the pay-per-view Saturday night, dude.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the support, guys.
Thanks,
Take
Dana.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Wait for that band.
Yes.
On Sunday night. It is the world famous K-Rock at 8:27.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
Okay. It is the most wonderful time of the year, of course, which is why our next topic is going to be extra appropriate, because we're going to talk about situations that you found yourself in where, I don't know, you were looking down the barrel of a gun. Now, I was surprised when this came up off the air the other day that it has happened to as many people in this room and in this office as it has, because it's not something I would ever expect.
A deadly weapon, whether it be a knife to the throat or a gun or whatever, but you weren't in a situation where you're in a gang or you were going to fight something. It doesn't make sense.
Or you're a cop.
Out of the blue,
right. The situation that you were in made zero sense to have that kind of thing happen. And we started talking about that. I was talking about when I was in high school, we were toilet papering a house.
As you were wont to do.
Sure, you take toilet paper, you throw it through the trees, you make a big mess, everybody laughs. And it was, I don't know, midnight or something, and I felt something against my head, the side of my head. And I kind of turned to look, and it was a it was a gun. It was a pistol.
Oh, it was a gun.
Oh, my God.
And it was the neighbor. He said, "What are you doing?" And there was toilet paper everywhere, and I had two rolls of toilet paper in my hand. And I was really pissed because I was like, why are you threatening my life? Toilet papering? What does it look like?
You got...
I did.
What did you say?
I said toilet papering. What does it look like?
You were a smartass when had a gun to...
Because it didn't make any sense to me. Like, I didn't think he'd shoot me, right? It
was you were clear. On, I'm glad he did.
It was clear what I was doing.
You were on his property.
No, I was on his neighbor's property.
And that also is annoying him, that it wasn't his
It wasn't his house.
It was his neighbor's. Leave me alone.
What are you doing? Hey, a-hole, what does it look like? I mean, you could say, look, he could say, stop that.
Yeah.
But don't say, what are you doing? And then I'll kick
he
you
has
the balls.
A gun. He can say anything he wants.
Why does he have a gun? I have toilet paper.
Yeah, stop.
He needs to come at me with a gun. I have toilet paper.
Stop with the gun, asshole. We're just toilet. I agree.
Stop with the smart ass.
I can tie him up and assault him with toilet paper all day long, and I couldn't do any damage. He had a gun.
You're right,
Kevin. What was your what would your reaction as a homo-ner now? What would your reaction be to kids toilet paper in your house if you were to walk out with it?
I
know you wouldn't pull a gun.
No.
Really, you think it was funny?
Yes.
All right, make a note, Psycho Mike.
No, I mean, really, I mean...
Yeah, as long as they're just actually teeping the house, right. They're not doing any vandalism. I mean, come on, a gun?
Right, you need a gun for toilet paper. That might be overkill, is what I'm saying.
So how was this one resolved? What ended up happening? Obviously, he didn't get shot, but how did you talk your way out of it?
I didn't. He said, leave. And I said, okay.
Sir, yes, sir.
Because, I mean, it took a while to sink in. Like, first I was pissed, but then I was like, wait a minute. This guy really does have a gun.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's loaded or not. He's crazy.
That's got to be the scariest thing
so
in the
I
world.
Ran like a little girl.
Well,
started
right
off
thing.
Being a smartass and then ran like a little girl. Mike, you've been assaulted twice.
I've had guns pulled on me or the groups I've with a ton of times, but only twice has it been totally unexpected. One time, I used to live in Newark, New Jersey, and it's terrible, but there's a huge homeless population in Newark, and especially back when I lived there. And a bum came up to me and asked me for some money, and I said, no problem. I pulled out my wallet, and I gave him a couple bucks. And he took the money, and with his other hand, pulls out a gun and puts it to my dome, and says, I can see you got more money. And I said, I sure do, and I handed it over to him. And
Really?
I said, can I keep my wallet? Please, you know, I don't want to have to...
Why didn't he just lead with, give me all your money?
I agree. Like,
I mean, really, if it's going to be a stick-up...
Like, I can understand if he did that if I didn't give him cash and he felt jilted, but no.
Right.
He
you actually gave him money.
Yeah, and he's like, I can see you got a lot more money in that wallet. And I was like, yeah. So
I
gave
crazy.
It to him. And I don't know why I felt the need to ask if I could keep my wallet. And he walked away.
Driver's license, credit cards, whatever.
Exactly.
You need that. Yeah.
I know, but usually with a gun to your head, you don't care.
Yeah, take whatever you want. Just don't shoot.
And then I got stuck up in Huntington Beach. In Huntington Beach, California, for those of you not in Southern California, it's really nice suburbanite neighborhood, Surf City, USA. And a kid, like probably high school age, came up to me as I was walking away from an ATM getting a withdrawal. And he's like, give me all your money.
Nice.
And I was blown away. And I totally did.
Wow, you're easy,
you're
dude.
You're an easy target.
Well, guns help.
I'm going to hold you up.
If you're going to hold me up, bring a gun.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If it happened completely out of the blue, it didn't make any sense, you didn't see it coming, you weren't inviting it, you weren't in a bar fight, you know, that kind of stuff. Just out of the blue, we'll take your calls.
It's never happened to me, which doesn't surprise
really?
You guys, but I was in a 7-Eleven, as I am often. I was in a 7-Eleven that was robbed while I was in the store once, and my fear was that the guy who was robbing the store was going to see me and was going to pull a gun on me. It didn't happen, but I mean, that's, I guess, the kind of thing that we're talking about, where you're someplace minding your own business, and all of a sudden you find the barrel of a gun pointed
at you,
right?
Did you step up and go, not in my 7-Eleven?
I sure didn't. I think I hid behind the Coke, I think is where I hid.
All right, we'll take your calls in just a second. 1-800-520-1067.
I cannot listen to this song and not dance.
Well, I can understand why.
Sure.
That's Everclear on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to get back to your calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. You had a gun pulled on you out of context, meaning you weren't, you know, running with a gang or on the other side wearing a badge. But strangely, that day you never expected it, but you ended up having a gun pointed at you. Lisa, this didn't happen to you, did it?
Well, something occurred to me while we were on break. I actually went into a 7-Eleven. It was 2 in the morning. I'd just gotten off of work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walked
out... Were you walking the streets outside your work?
No. Okay. I was actually a cocktail waitress.
Okay.
When I walked out, there were cops with the car was pulled up right in front of the 7-Eleven. The doors were open, and the cops had their guns pulled, pointed right at me as I walked out of the door at the 7-Eleven. I was like, I almost wet my pants.
Did you run?
And then I saw a guy spread out on the ground in front of me.
Oh, so it wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
You said, you mind if I have a shot at him first?
Hey, boys, what you doing later?
That's a little shocking.
It was really freaky.
Yeah, it's not just something you hope for when you wake up in the morning, that's for sure. But it does happen. All right, let's squeeze in as many calls as we can. Why don't we start with Troy, shall we? He's on line 4 on the Kevin Devine Show. You had a gun pulled on you inexplicably and without reason. Hey, Troy, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, I was working at a Blockbuster about 3 years ago in Mission Viejo, and me and my manager, we came out, you know, to walk up at about 1 a.m. after we closed, and out from behind the wall comes a guy in a ski mask, and he says, "Get back in the store."
Ooh.
And we have a lot of guys, you know, we played a lot of jokes on each other. We're all about the same age. So, I mean, before I could even say, you know, very funny, he comes up and he pushes a gun into my side. So I'm like, all right, cool, we're going back inside, let's go. So we go back and, you know, he tells us to disable the alarm. You know, he pretty much knows what he's doing.
Right.
And, you know, we have to disarm the safe. And to do that, there's a 10-minute delay on the safe, you know, for in the event of a robbery in the middle of the day. But it's 1 a.m. and no one's around, so we got to wait with this guy with a gun with our hands and faces on the floor.
Oh, awesome.
No,
dude. For about 10 minutes.
So, how's your date today? Good?
Yeah.
You? Oh, good.
Yeah. Any movies you want to rent?
You got Paul Blart? Oh, no. All right.
Did he did he stroll around the store while he was killing his 10 minutes to see what DVDs he could take?
No, which made it kind of worse because he just kind of stood over us with a gun and he was, you know, a little bit jumpy. You know, he kept looking outside the window, you know, looking outside the doors.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Wow. Pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a risk you run if you're in any kind of business that has money. I mean, I guess there's always a possibility of getting robbed, but you don't hope for that. I guess if you walk away from it, you're lucky. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it. All right, where do you want to go next? We've got a lot of calls.
Go to Brian. Brian, hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Brian.
So we're leaving the San Diego Supercross and we're driving out and, a friend of mine and I, and this VW bug cuts me off like a lowered bug with a car full of white boys with like white t-shirts, skinheads. And so I'm like, hey, whatever, you know, so I flash my headlights at them and I'm in a truck and they're in a lowered bug. So my lights are going right into them.
Right.
So I flash my high beams and the kid in the back holds up looked like a 45 and I just got out of the army. Right. And so I was like, oh no, he didn't.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
that's the army training kicking in right there.
So my buddy, like he's freaking out too. We're like pissed. So we start chasing him and we get into a situation where we're getting onto the, I think it was like the fifth, eighth freeway to going back to LA.
Right.
And right by the San Diego Stadium. So we get into a situation where we're like getting by him and I'm watching for the gun and my friend's yelling at him, pull it out. And we're all pissed off. Stupid. I mean, pretty stupid actually. Thought about later.
So you chased the guy who flashed the gun.
Did you have a gun too?
No, I had a truck and he had a bug.
Okay. So you win.
He was just going to run him over.
If you take the gun out of the equation, you win.
Well, yeah, if he didn't shoot me. So I'm looking at the kid in the back, and they're all looking at us. And so we get in a situation where they got to get the lanes are going from 2 to 1. I go, I'm not letting him in. All of a sudden, you just hear this crunch, and their bugs are wrapping around the front of my truck.
Nice.
I ended up pitting them, and instead of braking, I gassed it, and I started pushing them. It's just making all this crazy noise. My lights are going in all their faces. They're freaking out, and we're pushing them, and skin, and we're screaming, and they're screaming, and we look up, and there's a CHP right there looking at us with his mouth open, and the freeway, we just passed the freeway going the wrong way, going like El Centro East,
right.
And wow. We just jumped on it, and we just jumped on that, and we jumped on another freeway, then we jumped off the freeway, and we jammed through some neighborhoods, and
all
we're
right,
freaking out.
I'm getting
out.
A headache.
Wait, so you got away from the CHP?
Yeah, we got away from everything. We parked the guy right in front of the CHP with his car sideways, and they had a gun in the car.
Awesome.
And
that's the best possible conclusion to that.
By
that's
the way,
awesome.
Hey, Brian, guy in the Army, Bean was the one being mean to you, just so you know.
I wasn't being mean.
You're making my head hurt. That was Bean.
Hey guys, I was just trying to get it out fast.
No, I respect you. And all the work that you do, you're the best.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate the call. Let's try Shane. Shane's on line 2. He has a worst case scenario story for us. Hi, Shane. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Yeah. Actually, I was just out in Wyoming. This truck pulls up with two guys in it, middle-aged white guys, and they asked for directions. And as soon as I got up to the truck, one guy grabs me and pulls me inside the truck, and then the other guy that was driving puts a gun to my head and told me to give them all my money.
Wow.
See, this is why I don't trust Whitey. I mean, people accuse me of being racist, but I'm telling you, white people are no goddamn good.
How much money did you have on you?
None. I was 16.
Oh,
I had zero money. I had to empty it. I didn't have a wallet. I had to empty out all my pockets. And
did they just throw you out then?
Oh, yeah. They threw me out. And like 2 weeks later, I found out that it was actually an uncle of a friend of mine.
Excellent.
You're kidding.
I just moved out there from California.
Excellent.
And, yeah, so.
Well, right, welcome to Wyoming.
Nice to meet the family.
Yeah.
All right, let's try one more because we're almost out of time here. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in a minute. How about Ryan, by the way? This goes beyond having a gun pulled on you. He is on line three.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What happened?
Well, I was minding my own business, 2 o'clock in the morning, walking down the street, leaving a friend's birthday party. And I had my headphones on, so I'm jamming out to some Pennywise. And I noticed there was a vehicle driving about 2 miles an hour in the gutter pacing me. And I looked over, and I realized something bad is about to happen. This was in Vegas.
Right.
So
it doesn't matter where it is. If it's in the middle of the night and they're keeping pace with you at 2 miles an hour, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So I tucked my CD player up underneath my arm. When I looked to the left, about 3 feet away from me, 2 feet away from me, there's a 12-gauge shotgun hanging out the window pointed right at my face.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now, there you go. Now it's a party.
I had my headphones on, so I don't know if they said anything. But I just decided in that split second everything slowed down. I was either going to get shot in the face or I was going to run. I tried to run. He pulled the trigger and shot me in my chest and in my left arm.
No kidding!
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I flew against the wall. My hat flew off. My CD player flew, and I realized I had gotten shot, and there was blood everywhere.
Oh.
So I ran as fast as I could and screamed as loud as I could to wake up as many people in that neighborhood as possible. He leaned out the car and shot me again in my back.
Whoa!
Dude. Holy moly!
He wanted you dead.
Yeah.
Who hates Pennywise that much?
I hit the very first street, ran down about 2 houses.
How are you running?
Down.
How are you still running? You've been shot twice with a shotgun.
He's a man.
Yeah, but I was so far away with the shotgun. It was a game shotgun shell. So
okay.
It didn't penetrate my back. It just left a huge circle of bruises on my back.
Wow.
So I hit the first street, ducked down between 2 houses, and heard some commotion and started crying. I thought for sure they're chasing me down, and this is it. Oh. I'm going to die. I couldn't jump the wall because my arm was all mangled.
Right. Mm.
And it turns out I peeked around the corner. It was an off-duty police officer that came out of his house in his boxers with his gun drawn.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
He saved my life.
How about that?
Thank God.
That is unbelievable.
Well, who would ever think that getting shot, you'd still be the lucky one? I mean, it could have been so much worse, right? That's amazing. Well, so their motive was robbery? Is that why they were shooting you? Is they were trying to steal from you? Or
no, they were doing gang initiations. A week before, they did the same thing to another guy. And then 2 weeks later, they did the same thing to another guy.
Oh, so it was random. It's not just that they hated F authority.
That's right. I killed a single father of two 2 weeks later.
Wow. Oh, that's awful.
I hope that didn't get in their gang because he didn't kill you. I hope that'll show him.
That's right.
Right?
Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman now joins us with the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Apparently, we didn't look too hard
at
Tiger Woods' sexcapades.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
If we'd been watching more closely, we would have known for a while now that he was banging porn stars.
Really?
Yeah. Because it turns out, if you go to one of our favorite websites, whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com, WWTDD.com, you would see a internet interview with a porn star named Holly Sampson, who we talked about yesterday.
Right.
Where, this is like in May of this year, by the way.
Oh.
Where she's talking to an interviewer, and the interviewer says, "Have you ever banged any celebrities?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah. Tiger Woods."
Really?
Yeah. Here's a little taste of that interview. Maybe we have it. Maybe we don't. Didn't you say, Mike, that we had that interview? Didn't you say that to me earlier?
Speak.
No. Mike, say something.
We don't have it.
We don't have it.
No. I think Omar just told you that he did make that available to us.
Was she clear about...
I love this new technology. I love it. It's the best. Well, I'm glad we got that thing up and running.
Ralph, was it clear the timing? Do you think that people assumed she meant before he got married or something?
He's been married for a couple years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been married for years.
So that was May of this year?
Yeah.
Huh.
She also said she had sex with Kevin Costner, by the way, and complimented the size of his manhood.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
He's been in trouble before.
She's very forthcoming, this young lady.
Why wouldn't something like that have made bigger ripples at the time? Just because it was a porn star just mouthing off and nobody believed her?
And, you know, this wasn't on the, you know, the Craig Ferguson show. This was a little-known internet porn-themed talk show.
So kind of no one paid attention to it.
So I'm guessing no one paid attention to it. Yeah, but she was very forthcoming and very sort of relaxed about that information.
We have that now for
Oh, did screw you now. Now I don't want it. I already said everything was on.
But now it's ready.
Too late.
Right there.
You're too late.
Have it right there.
Too late.
All right.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
All right, play it.
All right.
Oh, Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that was
amazing. How did that happen?
Well, a friend of mine, Brent Bolthouse, he used to be a friend of mine, and he was good friends with one of Tiger Woods' assistants. So me and my girlfriends, we did a bachelor party for Tiger, and it was amazing. And then he picked me to go in the room and have some whatever. And I have to say, he was really good.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least she's giving him a good review.
Yeah, he can't be upset
His assistant's bachelor party.
Oh, his assistant's, okay.
Tiger threw a bachelor party for his assistant who was getting married, and she was at the party entertaining.
Okay.
And then Tiger said, yeah, I'd like you to come with me, pretty young lady. And then they went into the bedroom and wow.
Not only should she keep her goddamn mouth shut about Tiger, okay, now Brent Bolthouse and this assistant guy are totally screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, there is an unwritten law about bachelor parties that nothing can leave that vacuum. And then there she is spilling the beans.
Yeah.
Tiger sure is a boob man, though. Have you seen all the photos of all of his mistresses? He definitely has a type.
Yeah.
They taken a photo together?
He likes like a class picture. He likes busty white broads. That's what he likes.
He likes the girls that he never, ever, ever saw in suburbanite upbringing or at Stanford.
He likes trashy whores.
The girls he never encountered ever until adulthood.
Yeah. Good times.
So she said that then, huh?
Yeah. So that was months ago she gave that interview.
All right.
So now we know. Holly Sampson. She speaks the truth. Spider-Man 4 news. Are you excited? Spider-Man 4 in the works. Everybody's coming back.
Emo Spider scared me.
Tobey Maguire. No! Kirsten Dunst.
The FBI!
No! Set to begin filming in the spring for a release in 2011, and apparently we know who the next villain's going to be. Everyone was speculating, you know. Is it going to be the Lizard? Will Dr. Kirk Connors take that serum and become the Lizard? They were speculating?
Yeah.
But no.
Were they?
Is that not the case?
It's not going to be the case.
Not going to be the case.
Looks like John Malkovich will be playing the Vulture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Vulture's awesome.
I don't know the Vulture, but he's amazing.
Vulture can fly naturally because he's a vulture.
But he has to wait till they're dead.
And he's got sharp wings that he can cut you up with when he's flying around on you, which is bad.
Okay.
And looks like Anne Hathaway may be joining the cast as well. She will be playing Felicia Hardy, who, of course, we all know, becomes the Black Cat.
Well,
apparently
obviously.
In this film may become a female sidekick to the Vulture called the Vulturess.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she get two bells, by the way?
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
I think she's very
yes,
hot.
Yes, she sure does.
Two bells?
I know you are not a fan, Kevin, but
I'll give her a bell.
Inexplicably, I think she's very hot.
Very hot.
I think she's beautiful.
Okay.
Ralph, is it for money or artistically does this story need to be told?
Well, I mean, it's a superhero movie with a new villain. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, obviously the story can be told because, you know, story after story after story the comic books have been written about this character, Spider-Man and his villains, and Malkovich is great.
Yeah.
Much like Willem Dafoe was in the first.
Yeah.
It's a strong choice for a villain. It's one of Spider-Man's classic villains. I think this has real potential.
All right. There could be 10 of them then.
There's
so many Spider-Man villains. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they have to stay away from the romantic interest between Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson.
You think?
I think that's where the film sort of bogged down the last one, where she was singing at some nightclub and he had to go in and start dancing on tables and whatnot. Yeah. I don't know what that was all about.
Walking down the street and his staying alive. What happened with that whole movie?
I don't know. They got off the rails.
That one went south quick.
Maybe they can make it up to us with this one. Anyway, I'm
Mary
excited.
Jane needs to end up in a shallow grave. There's no question.
They knew Mary Jane. Yeah, recast.
Yeah.
Recast. Kill her off. Do some effing thing, for God's sake.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
Exactly. That's how those movies work. They smell the money in the water.
That's true. And they come out of the woodwork.
And here's some news. Gary Busey has found someone to have sex with him.
Wow.
No.
I figured that's how it happened because his girlfriend is pregnant.
No.
The 65-year-old actor
who is crazy.
Yeah. He's nuts.
He's really nuts.
And he's going to have a baby.
No.
He feels awesome about it, his agent said. He's excited and thrilled and can't wait.
No!
He gets excited every time we remind him that he's having a baby.
No! No! No!
Every time we break the news to him all over again that he has a girlfriend and that she's pregnant, he gets excited, said the agent.
Wow.
Once we remind him that his name is Gary, he seems very pleased. Every time we feed him tapioca pudding off a spoon.
Oh, my God, no way.
And changes depends. He seems to enjoy it. Oh, no, he didn't.
He's going to be a daddy.
Yeah.
For a very short time, though.
That's correct.
That's the upside.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Clark Duncan is 52 years old today. He is a big man.
Yeah.
He sure is.
He's not small.
He's very large.
He's got to be packing, right?
Should Mike tell the story?
Michael Clark Duncan, he's got to be packing. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I've seen him throw a softball like a girl. I don't think he's got any.
And run.
And run like a girl. I'm saying.
You know Michael Clark Duncan.
I'm just saying.
Explain to him.
My name is Bean, and I saw him.
His name is Kevin, and Psycho Mike are the two gentlemen telling that story.
Is that an accurate story?
It's way accurate.
It was
Will it be accurate when he comes down here and pounds you like a three-penny nail?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
It'll still be accurate.
I'll
even
still
though
get
he,
my ass kicked, but he still throws like a girl.
He throws like a girl.
Bitch.
He does. Wow. He really does. Wow. It was one of those celebrity softball games. And we were like, what are all those muscles doing for you?
They're bringing in the ladies. That's what those muscles are doing.
Yes.
Kenneth Branagh is 49 years old today. Meg White of the White Stripes is 35.
Emmanuel. Yes, she's attractive, but she's not hot.
Oh, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Wow. Okay, all right.
That hurts.
Emmanuel Shrieky is 31. Attractive and hot.
Yeah.
And Raven Simone. She's so Raven.
She's very Raven.
She's so Raven.
That's true.
And The Cosby Show, of course. She's 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Cake on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ at 13 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, did the music department lose a bet, or what's going on? What are you...
With cake?
What is going on?
With Everclear, with cake, with everything.
I don't know.
41.
It's a good new question. Edition? What are we playing? What the hell's going on here?
We didn't play New Edition.
Whatever we're playing. It's just weird. I don't know. What's going on?
I think they're high.
All right, let's talk about the great Steven Seagal. Now, Steven Seagal was an action star, a big-time action star, when? In the 90s, right?
80s and 90s, I'd say.
He had a whole bunch of... I never saw any of his movies, but I know he was laughably bad in them. He had, he was a kung fu guy. He had movies like Marked for Death and Out for Justice and Hard to Kill. They all had like three titles,
and
three words.
And the dialogue was all really crappy, and he was always fat. And I always thought,
he wasn't always fat.
Really, pretty much always fat.
But he got fat and he stayed fat.
I mean, really, if you're doing martial arts and you're fat, what does that tell you?
He never had a good physique, especially in the era of the Van Damme, Stallone, Schwarzenegger.
True. He never looked like those guys.
Just fat.
So then the movies kind of dried up, and then occasionally we'd hear a little something would dribble out about him. He had an energy drink for a while. Then we heard he was teaching kung fu or something like that. Well, now he's back, and he's back on TV in a big way. I have not yet seen this show, but it is called Lawman. And who's got it? Is it A&E, Kevin?
It's A&E. Okay. And right. I searched for Lawman. It's not Lawman. That's not the title of it. I searched for it. I couldn't find it. It's Steven Seagal Lawman.
Oh, all right.
That's the title of it.
Because that's the draw.
And this is the beginning of a man who loves himself and who apparently has been a policeman, a legitimate, like, reserve policeman in New Orleans for 20 years.
You're kidding.
So now the cameras are following him around, and listen to how happy he is with him.
I make a living in the movies, but for the past 20 years, I've also been a cop. I serve the people of Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. My name is Steven Seagal. That's right, Steven Seagal, Deputy Sheriff.
Now, you get a little taste for how much he loves himself when he goes, that's right, Steven Seagal.
I question whether he can really be making a living in the movies, too.
I do, too. He hasn't put a movie in a theater in 10 years, has he?
No.
Not one that I am aware of.
So he's a lawman. And he rides around in two black Escalades with three other cops, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
And he has a trained eye that most people can't even begin to understand.
When the world is speeding by for others,
think I see things for what they are. Years in the force and years in martial arts training keeps me aware of anything that's going on out there. A cock of the head, a foot planted forward or back, a flick of the wrist.
Yeah, he's watching as they drive down the street and they're showing people in slow motion. And he can tell if a guy's head is cocked the wrong way. He knows stuff's going down.
Sure.
And he talks like that the whole time. And the other three cops are all going, yeah, 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 boss. Yeah, boss. Yeah, I can see that. Sure, sure I can.
The real cops have to just hate the fact that he's in that car with them.
With a passion. So, and then this will tell you all you need to know about Steven Seagal. He says this.
These are the Jecks, you know, these are the projects.
These are the Jecks.
The oh Jecks.
Now, yes.
He's very busy.
Oh, my goodness.
They're the project. You know, they're the Jecks. We call them the Jecks. So basically what you find out, I watched two of these episodes. You find out that they are just out patrolling to patrol, but they're a sheriff, so I guess they can kind of go anywhere. But they have to call the real police when something goes down, the police that are actually in that area. So it's almost like it's like a two-hour show where they just bring cameras and just troll looking for action. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So they hear that there's a break-in somewhere, so they go to the house, and they start looking around, and there's a window that's broken. And they can't figure out how to get in, but they know one thing, and that's that fat Steven Seagal is not going in the window. That's not going to happen.
Canine's on the way now because we don't really want to go through the window. We're going to put that dog through the window and let him get in there, and if there's anybody in there, you'll hear some screaming.
Okay, so that's the kind of cop he is. I'm too fat. Let's bring a dog. Put the dog in.
Sure.
Nothing happens. They leave. Okay? So that's okay. The first show. Now we're done with the first show.
Okay.
All first right. Half hour.
Now well, not much happened.
It makes The Hills look like it's on
something where a lot
on
of stuff
meth.
Happens.
It makes The Hills look like they're on meth. I mean, this is the slowest show that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
So then they're trolling. Just they're looking for bad people. You remember how attuned he is to that?
To the Jets?
Sure. And this is what he says about some people.
Somebody just handed somebody something. Listen, look over here. I think these guys are slinging drugs. Let's go check them out.
All right, so the two cars pull over because somebody just handed somebody something.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it was nothing. And so...
All right, everything looks clear. Our job is done, and we're on our way out of here to the next call.
So he acts like he did something.
He didn't do anything.
Nothing. It was nothing. Somebody handed
our
somebody something. Let's go check them out. I think they're slinging drugs.
All right.
What do you got? Drugs? No. All right, my job here is done. What is that?
Does maybe it hasn't happened yet, but does he ever have to use those kung fu skills and actually fight with a perp?
Not that I saw.
Okay.
So then a call comes across the radio that a 2-year-old's been hit by a car.
Oh.
Okay.
Now,
that's
professional
serious.
Professional police, though, they don't answer, like, with feelings, right? They just go 10-4, run away.
Right. Listen. I was 20. I think female advisor, 2-year-old child got hit by a car, still breathing and alert.
Man, that's very bad news.
He says in the radio. He says into the police radio. Man, that's very bad news. Really?
Well, thank you for your opinion, officer.
Why don't you shut the F up and drive over there? So they go over there, and they're arguing because this little 2-year-old apparently got hit by a car. The driver's still there. The driver's saying, I didn't hit him. I swerved out of the way. Steven now has to bring his training into play because he sees where he can do some good.
You still hit him, though.
The martial art that I practice is called Aikido, which is all about harmony and oneness. And there's an awful lot of arguing going on here, so I'm going to see if I can promote a little harmony.
Okay, so what he does is he stands by till they finish arguing, and then they take the kid in an ambulance, and then he walks over to the ambulance and talks to the mom, and he gives her the straight scoop.
You better get him looked at, yeah?
Okay.
And these little children, they fast, boy. Somebody got to keep an eye on them, you know what I'm saying? You'll just really never let them out your sight.
That was his participation in that whole thing.
Well, I thought he was trying to defuse the argument between the guy who hit the kid in the car
now,
and
apparently
the
kid ran into the car. Ran out into the street and hit the car. And then Steven Seagal just stood by while this all happened. And then he steps up and he goes, you know, you got to keep an eye on him.
I like how he went into his, like, ghetto accent. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally does that. Yeah. Because he's in New Orleans, so he's totally speaking New Orleans. He's Cajun now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't seen the show. Does he still rock the ponytail?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
he's, okay. In 2009, he's still got the ponytail?
He has to. It balances the fat.
But ponytail and fizzat.
And fat. Jet black beyond any type of natural color.
Right.
With like a weird Eddie Munster widow's peak.
Yes, it has an Eddie Munster widow's peak. That's right.
Because he was always like losing his hair up top a little bit. A lot of times guys will compensate for that with the ponytail.
Right. Yes.
I can't believe he's still doing that.
Still happening. So they find a guy with a sawed-off shotgun, and they call in the real cops. And then the real cop keeps the one guy that had the shotgun, sends the other two home with the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Skull's there to make some sense of it.
I don't know him.
You don't know him? This is what he's got on him. And let me tell you something. This is a road to nowhere right here.
All right, so they send him home with mom. That was his participation, is he sent the kids home.
Okay. Well, he's quite effective there in New Orleans.
The police work is over. Now it's time for him to show off the fact that he has a band, that he's a singer. He is the Mojo Priest. And he sings.
A lot of people know me as an actor, but I've been playing the blues all my life.
Ordered chicken, and they gave him alligator ass.
I'm sorry, Cajun.
That's funny right there.
Come on.
Look, I wouldn't listen to that, but he's a better singer than he is an actor or a cop.
Yes,
God. I think this summarizes the show.
This is a road to nowhere right here.
That's right. It is a giant waste of time. Maybe a big enough waste of time that's worth watching.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I think I may.
Because he's a douchebag with all capital letters, and he loves himself, and he's dumb.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Every hour about this time, our friend Ralph Garvin comes in with a look at the showbiz beat. What you talking about right now?
Last hour, we talked about the top 10 albums of the decade.
Yes.
As the decade draws to a close, we are reaching 2010 in a couple weeks. They're starting to put out their best of the decade lists.
This wasn't best of in quality, but in number of albums sold.
Sales.
Right.
Right. And I told you the Beatles.
Right.
With their collection of number one hits.
Which is dumb.
Called One was the best selling.
Why is it dumb?
Yeah, because everyone's had those songs for 40 years.
But it isn't dumb.
That's why?
People wanted to hear them collected in one easy
dumb.
To digest CD.
Never mind.
It's hard to argue if it got the most numbers, but I'm just saying dumb. That's
almost,
my point.
Almost 12 million units since it was released in 2000, by the way.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
Okay.
So I thought we'd talk about the top-selling singles of the decade, since we covered albums.
All right.
Okay.
Now, these, keep in mind, are...
I hope they're all the Beatles.
These are units sold. So this means MP3 download.
Okay.
Vinyl, cassette, CD, whatever it came out on. This is units.
Okay.
So this is not...
Very exciting.
This is all different levels, all different formats.
Also not quality or anything else.
No, this is just the best sales.
All right.
Here, for the entire decade, keep in mind.
Okay.
From the year 2000 until this morning. These are the best selling.
For the last,
the numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
I will come in. I will beat you to death. Here's number 10. I love that song.
Katy Perry's awesome.
I got that Katy Perry CD, and I'm not a fan of that particular type of music, but I love her and that album.
She's pretty hot.
She is great, too.
Yeah.
Here's number 9.
That?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Love Story.
Country.
Now, she's only been out for like 2 weeks, right, Taylor Swift?
Correct.
Top 10 of the decade.
She was born 2 weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying.
She has the best-selling album of 2009 also.
Really?
So she's mega, mega popular, yeah.
Number 8. That was when I ruled the world. All right.
Yeah.
Coldplay, Viva La Vida Loca.
Or something.
Or something like that. Number 7.
Sure.
The entire decade. Number 7.
Poker Face.
Poker Face. Lady Gaga. Huge.
You know, it's interesting because we were talking last hour how all those albums were in the first half of the decade because people don't really buy albums anymore. So that kind of hurt things that have come out more recently.
Right.
But this list seems pretty heavily loaded with more current songs because of the availability of the MP3.
See? Here's number 8. Number 6.
Sorry.
Crank that song. Now I mean you. Crank that song. Now what?
Soldier Boy.
What do you know?
Tell him, Soldier Boy.
It was huge. Not good, but huge.
Sixth on the list.
Now on with the countdown.
That's of the past 10 years. That was 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you hear? 5.
Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom.
Kill me.
Boom, gotta get that boom.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me want to drink some crystal.
No, he's good. He's a good song. You're wrong. No.
I'm not a musician, but I feel like...
That made me want to order Hennessy and milk right there.
I feel like I would be embarrassed to put that out with my name on it. I really do. Boom, that's boom, how bad pow. That song is.
Decade, by the way. Of 10 the decade. Years yeah. sales. Fifth.
Okay.
Decade.
All right.
Fourth.
And it's too late.
Really,
guys?
Yeah. Apologize. Timbaland makes good shoes.
One Republic. Yeah, I like that song. I like that song.
Third.
I'm yours.
Is that, that crappy Jason Mraz?
Oh, Jason Mraz, sure.
Yeah. That guy.
He's a yodeler.
He's no good. He's no good.
Number two.
Just Dance.
Sure. Lady Gaga, Just Dance. The second highest selling single of the past 10 years, my friend.
Yes.
It came out 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And number
the
one.
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
I'm going to kill you, I swear. This is the number one best-selling single of the past 10
well,
years.
Well, are you ready for the big one?
Yeah, we're ready, Casey Kasem. Here's number one.
She hit the floor. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, she got low, 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 low,
low. Low it flow.
Got to tell you,
Flo Rida.
It's not a...
Featuring T-Pain.
It's not a world of our music, I'll tell you that.
It's not a world of our music. It's a lot of Gagas and T-Pains and yep. Flows and Timbas and Soldiers. It's a lot of those people.
It's all of those people.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your top 10 singles in sales for the decade. Don't say I never taught you nothing.
If you're a young person who grew up as Ralph and I did, and Kevin did for that matter, and you love rock music, pretty much you got to go to the internet these days to hear it. With very few exceptions of like this radio station, there aren't very many places to hear rock anymore.
What about this?
Yeah!
Go, Ralph.
Yeah!
Go, Ralph.
We banged that one. We ran that one right into the ground.
VSOP!
I mean, that song's fine. That song can be part of your musical diet, but you gotta have some rock and roll too,
no,
don't you?
All that. That's all I want. Just that.
Okay.
Low, 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 low.
That's
low,
what they play
low.
In the champagne room, bitch.
That's right. And then they play. The-
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant.
That's what happens in the champagne room.
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant.
Where's that on the list, Ralph?
Low is like some getting pregnant music right there. That's what you play when you're getting bitch pregnant.
That's right.
Play some low is a boom, boom, pow. And your poker face.
Is the Tiger, exactly what is the Tiger Woods song going to be the number one of the next decade? That's my question.
I think the slow jam.
Change your
change
name.
Your number.
Take your name.
Hey. It's Tiger.
Hey, Tiger.
It's a
delicious
flavor. He has to stop and think.
Please, Dad, give this one.
What happened?
You take your name off your phone. My wife took my phone and made me call. Take your name off your phone.
Yeah, that's gotta be number one.
Dad, give this one. Just have a nice number. Take your name off your phone. My wife answered my phone and made me call. Take your name off your phone. You gotta
do this for me.
Just have a nice
phone. That is brilliant.
Tiger Woods featuring Brian McKnight. Looks like Spidey 4 is going to be a good one, fellas. Spider-Man 4. They just announced the cast. Apparently John Malkovich is going to play the Vulture. Classic Spidey villain. He flies around with razor-sharp wings that you can attack Spider-Man with.
Nice.
Awesome. Hope he shaves his head for the role, because the Vulture's bald. Looks badass.
I'm not that invested in it, but okay.
And Anne Hathaway apparently also going to play a villainess in the movie named Felicia Hardy, who in the comic books, of course, is the Black Cat.
Of course.
But in this movie, apparently, is going to play someone called the Vultureess. You are not gonging Anne Hathaway. I know that was a mistake.
No, I just did that to bug you.
Why not Steven Seagal as the villain in Spider-Man 4? Come on.
Lawman.
Lawman.
Lawman. That's right. Steven Seagal.
I notice things that other people don't.
That's right. Steven Seagal. That's right. You heard. You heard correctly. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Clark Duncan, who also played a comic book villain. He played the Kingpin in Daredevil with Ben Affleck.
Sure.
Not a good movie.
Nope.
But he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
52, Kenneth Branagh, who is directing a comic book movie as we speak, called Thor.
Yeah!
About the Norse god of thunder. He carries the hammer. Thor's hammer.
which, by the way, is a nickname for my penis.
That's what she said.
He's 49 years old. Meg White.
Yeah.
Who looks like a comic book character. Is 35 years old today. Manuel Shariki.
Oh!
Is 31. And Raven Simone. And That's So Raven and The Cosby Show turns 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman.
That's right. Ralph Garman.
And I walk the show this week.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have an all-new program tomorrow morning that is too big for our britches. We can't handle this, I don't think. We're going to have to start
jam-packed.
We're going to have to start like at 3
It's too
morning.
Big for our britches. That's what I've heard.
Is that correct? No?
Nope.
Movie beat tomorrow. Ralph will be here with the movies that are in the theaters. Okay. We have Mike Henry from the Cleveland Show tomorrow.
Awesome.
We have LaQuisha tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. We have Adam Carolla tomorrow.
Hey.
We have Andrew Siciliano tomorrow.
Hey.
We have William Shatner tomorrow.
Hey.
Wow.
We have tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 in the pit for night number one tomorrow.
It's coming up this
yep.
weekend. Too big for our britches. I would say that was accurate.
No. If something isn't too big for
People
your britches,
are too big
you
for
are
britches.
Too big for your britches means
yeah.
you're kind of full of yourself.
Okay.
There's not a thing that gets too big for your britches.
I'll rework that one for tomorrow.
So you can come up with
now,
something else.
We could have been trying to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound sack. That we could have been
okay.
trying to do. That would have made sense,
That would have
right?
been better, yeah.
We
right.
could have
okay.
smelled money in the water and then come out of the woodwork.
I don't understand that, that. I don't know what you're talking about with that one.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. How about the latest from Pearl Jam? How about some Muse, 30 Seconds to Mars, and their latest Green Day, Rise Against, and more? It's all straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.